listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
You said you were a gangster, but you never pop nothing. Said you's a wankster, and you need to stop fronting. You ain't no friend of mine, huh? You ain't no kin to mine, nah.
What makes you think that I'ma run up on you with the nine? We do this all the time. Right now we on the grind. So hurry and copy and go selling nicks and dimes. Shorty, she's so fine. I gotta make her mine. A ass like that gotta be one of a kind.
I crush them every time. Punch them with every nine. I'm fucking with they mind. I make them press rewind. They know they can't shine if I'm around the rhyme. Been on parole since 94 because I commit the crime.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are in the house on a Sunday morning, a good playoff NFL Sunday morning, you know. Although I don't know how much playoffs I'm gonna watch because I need to go see Jamie Foxx be an impossible white man today. And it's looking pretty promising. The reviews are terrible. So that means he's gonna be doing some off the hook shit. And of course it's a very special Sunday because for the first time ever, we have a crew of podcasters that have never been on the show before. Mm-mm. Although they, you know, they, it's one of those things where, like, I think podcasting, black podcast specifically, is so small, but it's so big. It's like total oversight on our part, but
yeah, because it was like we talked about y'all. I was like, yeah, we need to get them on. Okay, that's why I was like, we might need a personal assistant or some shit because we be like, yeah, we need to get somebody on. Okay, then 3 months go by, year, 2 years. I'm like, hey, have we had them on? Nah, we ain't had them on yet. What the fuck is happening?
Right,
you just everybody dropped the ball.
You sitting up there like, yeah, we been had them on. Wait,
yeah, we assume that sometimes.
Let me look through the emails.
Let me go on the site. No, I don't see the name on the site. I don't think we had them on.
But yeah, it's the crew from Three Fifths Podcast. We appreciate y'all being on. First of all, what's going on, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, as always, appreciate you guys having us on, man. This is big for us, so I really appreciate it, man.
No doubt. And like Justin, if you're familiar with Justin's voice, you probably listen to movie trailer reviews because he's a frequent guest with him and Chris over there. And then of course we have Bree. What's going on, Bree?
Hello.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me and us and we.
And then, of course, we also have Eric. What's going on, Eric?
Yo, not too much. It is early for me because it's like 9 a.m. on a Sunday here, so I'm chugging coffee.
It's working for you, though, man. Like you just came in like, I expected like Sha to come in behind you just now with the morning bass. Yeah, that morning bass in his voice.
Did.
Yo, girl.
I'm here, lady.
The very first time that I saw him, brown eyes.
Your lips said hello and I said hi.
For real. That's that's how I felt.
I was like, is it 9 a.m. or 9 p.m.? What's happening?
Right. You might need to start recording y'all show in the morning, dog.
Man, that might be the new wave. That might be the new wave.
Right. Everybody get up early in the morning with our basses in his voice. It won't work though, because our women co-host gonna be like, "Come on, dog." can't have me out here sounding like
that'll work out the same way for me.
Yeah. I can't have you out here sounding unless you want to put out Alicia Keys. You know, like you can always do that.
Yeah, no makeup on. Yeah, I'm really no makeup on.
I wasn't even talking about makeup. I was just talking about. I was just talking about how she do that baritone sometimes, you know. Like, yeah, I put a little milk. So anyway, how long have you guys been podcasting, man? Over at Three Fifths, man. You guys are a bunch of episodes deep. I was listening to y'all this morning, actually.
We started this back what? Like Eric and I started podcasting back like 08, 09. Back with Talk Shoe and Facebook. Oh my god.
Damn. Not Talk Shoe.
I think Three Fifths is, we started like the Three Fifths iteration of this, what, a year and a half ago?
Like April 2015. I was actually just looking this up. Me and Justin started podcasting together November 09. On Talk Shoe. Then we moved to Vocal for a while. Then everything happened with Vocal and everyone left. Then we were on Spreecast. Then we were on doing Google Hangouts. And then in April 2015, we launched with the website and recording through Skype and all of that. So
it's
about 7-8 years.
It's amazing how much over time, like, you have to adjust to technology and adjust to the to the changes that come with this, you know, this basically a job. It's, you know, at many points, like,
if you don't adjust, you won't make it as a podcaster. It's one of them things where it's like, you find this, you be like, yeah, this shit worked. And they be like, you know what? We're going out of business. Or, you know what? We're not update that no more. Or, you know what? Fuck whatever you're doing.
$5,000.
Oh, yeah. They charge you an arm and a leg for it. They're like, yeah, you can still use this service, but it ain't going to be free no more. You know, little things like that that make you adapt and make you adjust. And the thing about podcasting, it will make you be a what they call them people to fix it everything, a fix it man, a home fixer upper. You will learn how to do shit on your own because you always have more time than money.
Yeah, I think in a lot of cases, shows, like, people are like, man, where did that show go? What happened to this show? And it's like, there's a lot of hurdles, you know, whether it's like pay things, like, I gotta pay for this, I can't afford that, whether it's just like technology, you know, your computer breaks down, now I gotta buy a new laptop, like, is it really worth all that to me?
Come on, happen on. Our very first show, we was like, yeah, let's go record. Our computer was like, I don't think so, niggas.
Right. So it's a lot of stuff, a lot of hurdles to overcome. So, you know, that's why it's important to support people and spread the word and stuff like that to get the word out there. Now, how did Bree get in the mix then? Because it sounded like you said it was you and Eric at first.
I started out behind the microphone a couple years ago, I guess. I was quote unquote production. I would kind of coordinate the topics, make the transitions and all that kind of stuff. And somehow I ended up on the mic once and then they decided they wanted to keep me. So I just kept coming back.
You know,
it was actually a long con. Like, the plan was always to get Bree on the mic. We were like, you know what, we'll ease her into it. And then when they just like, hey, why don't you just get on the mic one day? Like, what's the worst that could happen?
You know, that's
all of us started out thinking we were production. When me and Justin were planning it, I'll do all the behind the scenes stuff and Justin will be the one mainly on the air. Justin's going, no, I'll work on this behind the scenes stuff, but Eric will be the one on the air. Joke's on us. Then we did the same thing to Ash and then Bree, and now we're here.
That, you know, it's amazing that, like, so many people, like, I don't know how people do production by themselves, like, or just, like, I'm gonna do production, I'm not gonna do anything else. I'm gonna coordinate behind the scenes and nothing else. Cause, like, when you're listening to a podcast, even just as a fan, I know it feels like a conversation where I wanna just, like, interject. And then, if I'm a producer, I'm gonna be like, nigga, I don't agree with that, you know, like, let me get mine in too, you know, or, oh, I do agree with that, but this is funny too, you know?
Yeah.
I started out really thinking, I was just like, I'll just help and coordinate because I liked it. It was really just for our kind of group at first.
Yeah.
Like our group of black internet friends. And then it kind of expanded into what it is today. And then I married this one. So,
yeah. Now,
I'm this one.
So did y'all meet via the podcast in the group or how'd that work?
So way back in ye olden days of Facebook, back when it was lit and they didn't let high schoolers in. we were in a Facebook group, Justin, me, Bree, Ash, and Justin's wife, actually. And that is how all of us met. It is how we started the podcast. And now me and Justin are married to women who we met there. Wow. And my wife continues to put up with me.
Wow. And that group was what? Hoteps, of college? What was the name of the group?
I mean, there were Hoteps in the group. It was,
Hoteps for the most part.
Though. Aren't they always?
No, it was, it was 1 million black students, the original iteration, which spawned off like, 8 or 10 other groups, like, where people got upset. I don't see why there should be 1 million black students. If I made 1 million white students, that'd be called racist. There is like 31 million white student groups on Facebook, if you look, and they all have 10 members. They made 1 million Asians. They made a bunch of them. No one cared.
No one cared.
But ours was always the coolest.
And you know they are
like,
being.
It was like at one point 100,000 people in there.
Yes, and a lot of them were commenting every day. So we dealt with Hoteps. My favorite Hotep thread was the circumference of the earth is proportional to the circumference of the black woman's ass.
Yes.
That was the best Hotep thread.
Oh my God, I forgot all about that.
Yeah. That
okay.
was depth. Right there. Yes. That was y'all didn't know that because y'all didn't open your third eye pineal gland chakra. Mm.
I can kind of see how that part that connects the United States to South America could be a taint if you think about it, you know. So I guess that is deep.
Yeah, that's real deep because it's one of those things, but I don't know. I only got two. I guess I don't got that what's in me to open up that third eye. I guess mine gonna stay shut forever, y'all. I'm gonna stay asleep.
Yeah, that is cool that y'all.
No extra eyes.
No extra eyes.
Well, as a four-eyed person, I feel that this is really taking a turn.
No. Four is cool. Even-numbered eyes are cool. Like
oh, okay.
Two, four, six. If you have six, like two in the back of your head, that's cool. It's the third eye. We don't mess with that third eye.
Oh, them odd numbers would throw you off, apparently, I see. And when y'all was talking about being producers, because what's funny is that I'm the type of person, I'd have been a producer and been happy. Like, I'd have been the one sitting in the back arguing, but was like, nah, I'm good. I ain't got to be on the mic. But that's just how I function. And Roger was like, I'm not doing this by myself.
How'd you get there?
Oh, because he was like,
everybody got tricked.
Yeah, because he was like, I'm not doing this by myself. And I was like, oh, because it was one of those things, but I thought I was going to be the substitute. You know how you had a substitute till you get the real host? That's what I thought I was going to be. He was like, we're going to do a podcast. And like a lot of people, a podcast, what the fuck is a podcast? I don't know. What is this? It's recording. Where is it going?
Well, by that time, you already knew what a podcast was. We were both listeners to like Keith and the Girl and stuff.
Yeah, but it took a while.
Yeah, she just was reluctant. You know, I think for women anyway, that's definitely like a thing of.
Yeah, because you're constantly.
Kind of being times. Like, just be quiet. You be seen. Don't say nothing. Don't be out here giving to me controversial opinions. Vocal. And. You know, I just, you know, I couldn't imagine doing it without her anyway. And then the conversations that we had, I thought were really entertaining and good and lend themselves to, you know, a different medium. So, you know, I'm really glad that she decided to stick around. You know, I don't think anyone can imagine this show without Karen. You know what I mean? Like, it would be terrible. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm always interested to be like, cause the other part of it too is I think, in a male dominated pretty much field, like it's starting as it went on, like podcasts has definitely become more and more like diverse, whether gender, orientation, right. Race, things of this nature. Mm-hmm. Still, you know, still kind of viewed as mostly white. Still the mm-hmm. gatekeepers are mostly white and promoting shows that are mostly white and stuff, but in general I just always feel like a lot of shows I would listen to, different people's perspectives made the show better. So it's like,
and relationships,
yeah, you know, like I can't, like if I listen to a show where it's all guys, even if I love those guys, even if they're funny and all that shit, there's always moments where you're just like, yeah, a woman in the room would have definitely helped there.
Right,
or,
yeah. She'd have been like, I'm not here for this bullshit. Whatever the fuck y'all talking about right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, okay. You know, it's easy to talk and, you know, there's no one gay in the room and it's easy to be like, oh, why they got to do this or something? And you're like, you wouldn't talk like that if you thought that someone gay was even listening or contributing to the conversation. Things of that nature. So it's always interesting to see how people come to their, like, oh, let's get Brie on, let's get Ash on or whatever, because I think that changes the show for the better.
Yeah, and one thing that I like about you guys' podcast, and for me, since I've kind of matured in podcasting and matured in my listening, because when you first come in, there's certain stuff you listen to, you be like, okay, that's cool, but then when you hear better, you actually will do better. and y'all respect your female hosts, and I've listened to a lot of shows where it's a female host and she just a side chick, something to be pretty for dudes to jerk off on. They ain't really trying to listen to her motherfucking opinion at all. Now shit like that made me mad, because what's the point in having her voice when you're not gonna hear her out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we've told Ash and Bree on air and behind the scenes, they are the secret sauce of the show. Like, me and just, oh, two nerds have a podcast. Okay, two black guys. It's still fairly common. Like, you all are the key. You all are what makes us more interesting. You all are what provide, in many cases, the actual real interesting perspectives. You keep me and Justin honest. And so that's why the show works. Me and Justin are arguably much more replaceable.
Right.
You are not.
Like, no, I agree. I agree. Them niggas are terrible. Really? They're trash. I agree. No, I'm just kidding.
One thing I would like to say too was that, and this, I think this is our first time actually talking to Jay and Justin in person. It was wonderful to meet you. Cause we got to meet you. We didn't get, I don't know if the rest of you guys were there, but I know we met you, and it was wonderful to meet you in person. Cause one of the things, how you hear people, you talk with people across social media, but actually to see you was a whole different experience.
Did the height throw you off?
But that's what everyone says. They mean, it's like, holy shit, you are tall. I'm like, nah. There's some truth to the ceiling fan story.
Yeah, you're about a foot taller than me.
Yeah, but no, it was definitely great seeing you guys come up for Awesome Con. Like, that was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to hopefully do that again in the future.
For sure, man. Yes. It was, definitely going to come back this year. Also, before we move on, what all else do y'all cover, man? I heard you saying y'all gonna start a new show about tabletop board games, which I feel like, is that a heavy genre? Is that,
I mean,
like, is there like a whole tabletop board game podcast universe that I'm just not aware of?
Yeah, cause
like, that is definitely the first I heard of that.
So there are a few. Rooster Teeth actually does one for Dungeons and Dragons. Penny Arcade would do one every year at like PAX East, PAX West. But there's not a lot of tabletop RPG podcasts, and there are none that are all black. We actually finished an entire season doing Vampire the Requiem from October to January. It's about 19 episodes. Each one is 30 to, I think some go as low as like 12 minutes. So it's not a high barrier to entry to listen to one or two, see if you like it. We wrote the entire setting ourselves. It actually features Seeker. She changed her name at Chasing Lux on Twitter, Shanta Fabulous, and Carmilla Lusta, who does Got Your Thrones with Me, and Justin, and then I act as the game master and run them through the scenario. We had a lot of fun doing it. We're also recording some playthroughs, doing a Fiasco. We're actually creating our own setting for the next few that we do in the same vampire theme. So we have a lot of fun doing them. We think people have enjoyed listening to them. Saturdays and Sundays through the rest of this month, we're actually doing live tweets of the episode. We did 1 through 3 yesterday, and today we're going to do 4, 5, and 6, and then continuing on Saturdays and Sundays, 3 episodes a week.
Wow, 3 a week? Holy shit. Yeah. What are you, are y'all just like live recording the game as it's played?
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. Like, we'll all set up on Skype. Eric will run us through the scenario. We got our character sheets and everything, and we just record as we play. And we had a lot of fun playing it. One thing I keep saying with Vampire the Requiem, like, when you listen to season one, there's like a lot of rule breaks, like breaks for us like figuring out the rules. That's why for season two, Eric and I sort of went through and made our own rule book. And when you hear the season finale, you can tell like it's a lot smoother. Like, there's like so many like things that went into just playing the game and making the game. It was a lot of fun, and that's sort of why I wanted to make the new show about just tabletop gaming, because like Eric said, there's really no, like, in that space of tabletop gaming, there's really no all black podcast. Like, even in gaming, there's very few all black podcasts that just focus on gaming and gaming from like a black person's perspective. So I wanted to do that. Like, that was kind of important to me. And we won't just be doing the recordings of our playthroughs. We'll actually try to do some reviews of some board games. I definitely want to do or record a playthrough of it's this card game called The Shade of Life. It is one of the funniest things I've seen. So I want to do a playthrough of that. I want to get a playthrough of Black Card Revoked with all of the expansions. So we have a lot of ideas. We have a lot of stuff we want to bring to the audience, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Y'all do a lot of work. I know this might sound crazy, but do y'all have anything premium? Because every time I listen, y'all got like another spinoff, I was like, wow, they do a lot of work.
We are working on that. Now that we have kind of our ideas as far as what we're going to be doing for about the next year, we're actually going to start spinning up some premium content, either as kind of early release. A few of the tabletop RPG things may end up going on the premium. It's going to probably be situational call, like the main show that we do will probably continue to be free, but there may be some early access or that kind of thing for premium members. But no, right now we don't have any premium content. We wanted to get to a place where we were really comfortable with what we were doing, what our schedules were, because we didn't want to start charging people money and then going, oh, I don't really feel like it this week, I'm out. Like, no, people are spending their money. You have to respect that. You've got to be consistent. So that was our real focus through the first couple of years. Now that we're kind of in a rhythm, you know, podcasting ain't free or cheap.
Oh, for sure. And Miss Smart had a great idea in the chat. She said somebody should do a spades podcast. But, I mean, how you going to do that when the number of people on the show going to have to keep decreasing every year? Like, I mean, you're not gonna be able to keep no friendships. I mean, we all know this.
Look, you know they got the World Series of Poker. I think ESPN should have the World Series of Spades, where they just travel to different cookouts and family reunions.
Listen,
that'd be so lit. And they got the cars in the bottom like they do with the other game. You'd be like, they have a diamond, deuce, ace.
That's why I miss the Chappelle Show, because I feel like they could have definitely did the World Series of Spades.
Oh, somebody said Uno too. World Series of Uno.
Uno break friendships too, man.
Yeah,
Uno, you gotta be careful with Uno.
Has a domino tournament at every single family reunion, and there is a trophy, and whoever wins gets to keep the trophy at the house.
Wait, is this the big family?
Yeah.
Okay. When she says a family reunion, she means, what was the last one? 300?
Oh, shit. I think like 400.
No, they have their own website that you can go onto and enter, like when you have children, so that you can look through and find out how you are related to every member of the family.
Wow.
That's some organization.
That's dope.
Yes. They have four different chapters that rotate hosting the events. They get a letter from the mayor and governor every time they have one, because they bring in 400 to 500 people.
And we always say we missing people. Like, this is literally just like mainly one branch, because they have, it's like it was like 8 great great grandkids of the, like, there was like 8 branches, but only like 2 of the branches have like a decent showing, and my branch happens to have like the most people show up to most of them, because there's a bunch of people that we ain't got in there.
Yes, I went to one of the events, like I don't remember if it was the opening night or the second night. They actually brought in one of those Vegas gaming companies, so that they had blackjack and
roulette
and poker and all that set up.
So wait, are y'all like gambling too?
It's fake gambling. I don't remember if they had prizes that you could get that you could buy with the Monopoly money. And so that's kind of how they work.
Y'all must meet, they see the budget for the year. They were like, oh yeah, whatever they want, they get.
Yeah. That's it. Like,
cause we go to a hotel, and so the city is like, thank you for coming and bringing all these people. Cause then we go like shopping, and we go to the local attractions,
tour of whatever city and all that.
We have our own family crest. We have our own nonprofit organization. We have presidents of each chapter. It's like a business,
right? That's
dope. It's for family reunions.
Yo, that's dope, man.
That's why we only have them every 2 years.
Mine just...
We have every other year.
My family reunion is just like, I don't know these people. And then, like, somebody drive from South Carolina, get all the cheesecake plates, and then leave. And we'd be like, what the fuck happened to cheesecake? And then it's time to go. Then it's time to leave.
Yeah. But you know what? It's good that y'all organized, because y'all so organized that wherever y'all go, they're not going to fuck none of y'all over, because they know this group of black folks is too big, because if we do anything wrong, we're going to have to deal with the shit. Y'all probably got lawyers on the scene. Y'all right. Mess around and fuck with somebody, y'all mess around and get sued.
Yeah.
Plus, and everything.
I mean, just in general, you don't want to piss off 300 black people doing anything.
Come on.
You know what I mean? They might just show up in a hotel lobby like, Nook, if you book, boy.
Right. They
and they're from Texas, so they all have guns.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're gonna be playing you that do. Chance when you go. They're going to be in a lobby to come out. You don't want no problems, big fella. And everybody going to break out.
All right, guys.
They're from the country. Well, they're from the country.
We have. Texas. Threats of violence aside. This is the Blackout Test Podcast, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic, and everywhere you find podcasts. Leave us 5-star reviews if you like the show, and they're nice. We'll read them on the air. If they're 5 stars and they're not nice, we won't read them on the air. Mm-mm. Also, if they're not 5 stars, why are you wasting your time?
Don't waste your time.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball. Extreme, extreme, extreme. And today, we're triple sponsored, actually. Let me go through these sponsors.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, get these dollar bills, y'all. Number one, we're brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions and their second audio play album called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Karen and I are all over that joint.
Yes, we are.
And you can, like, check us out, because we have all kinds of characters and funny stuff that we were doing.
Professional, y'all, and it was a lot of fun.
And he should be having a new album coming out soon.
Be our third one, won't it?
It'll be our third one. Mm-hmm. So, but get the second one so you can be caught up on the saga, so you can keep up with our characters as we develop over the 3 albums.
Yeah, because we have developed, and some of the stories connect. Mm-hmm.
So pay attention. It's like Easter eggs.
Yeah, it is.
Also, this episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT today, and you can get your first month free. That's getbevel.com/TBGWT. getbevel.com/TBGWT. And lastly, we're brought to you by Adam and Eve. I'm not even gonna play the sexy song, guys. Okay, this is important information. You need to pay attention. Okay, Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in your bedroom. Okay, it's for a limited time only. Time is running out. I'm gonna be real with y'all. Okay, Valentine's Day is coming, and they're gonna switch up this offer.
Yes, sir.
So get it while you can. Okay, they are going to give you 50% off of almost any item when you enter offer code TBGWT, which is a great deal by itself. But in addition to that, backed by popular demand, they also give you the Big O Kit. Okay? The Big O Kit. I'm not talking about Olivia Munn, guys. I'm talking about orgasm. That's what it means. It includes Climax Gel and a mini vibrator. So now you know what to get her. Okay, guys? And in addition to that, they're going to give you free shipping. Take advantage of the limited time order. You can choose anything in the store, adult toy, movie, lingerie. I mean, they got everything up in there. You know what I'm saying? Just try it. It's 50% off. Then you get the Big O package, and then you get free shipping. I mean, come on, guys. All you got to do is put in TBGWT when it's time to check out, and you'll get all this stuff. That's easy. Go to adamandeve.com, put in code TBGWT in the offer code upon checkout. All right, let's get to news. Number one, Eddie Long dead.
Yeah, that happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yep. 2017 is already here.
What are they gonna claim that took him out?
I want to know if they gonna. Yeah, right. I just want to know if 2017, if people gonna treat this like a tragedy, or if people gonna be like, like I was when that Supreme Court justice died last year. Where I was like, welp. You know what I mean? Cause, Eddie Long got a checkered history, man. You can't just ignore that shit. And there's gonna be a lot of people that are gonna be going in on him. And if the, if the controversy from last week or last month with Shirley Caesar and what was it, Kim, what was her last name again, Karen?
Burrell,
yeah. And Kim Burrell taught people anything is that there's a lot of people that defend people in the church even when they're wrong just because it's in the church.
Yep.
So and then there's gonna be a lot of people that's gonna be like, good, fuck him, he's abusive, he was charged with all this shit, I don't care if he you know, somehow got off, this motherfucker's obviously a piece of shit. That fight on social media is gonna get real. I can't imagine just how bad it's gonna get, because a lot of people won't jump in front of that bullet for Eddie Long. Also, I think some misguided loyalty, in my opinion.
Wow.
Like, I'm afraid, because some of the people that are gonna hop on the "I'm glad he's dead" train are gonna use homophobia as the reason why they do it. Rather, they're gonna be like, right. "Oh, he was with all those men." And they're going to ignore the fact that he was preying on boys, like teenage right, boys, children. 13, 14, 15, 16. Like that, I feel like a lot of people are going to be like, oh, he was homosexual. See, Kim Burrell told y'all the gayness is going to die in the church, and they're going to jump behind that. And it's just going to be really, really messy. And I think people are going to forget, like, all the actual horrible things he did, like prey on children, right. Use his position in the church to sort of prey on those more vulnerable. And it's just, the whole thing is just effed up, man.
Yeah, and just also, like you said, there's gonna be people that demean him, but yeah, it's cause I mean, even I think in either Kim Burrell or Shirley Caesar's rant, they brought up Eddie Long, like, pejoratively, like,
Kim.
It was Kim, okay, yeah, it was like, you gonna die because of this and shit. And it's like, okay, I see where this is going. So yeah, you're right, some of the people that are gonna go in on him are gonna be Christians and stuff that are homophobic. It's just gonna be ugly. And then it happened during Sunday morning Twitter, and Sunday morning Twitter is like,
that's a special Twitter.
It's,
we
really
ain't got
like
as much sports going on, and you know how them niggas do when they ain't got nothing to tie their time up.
Yeah, it's really like hornet's nest Twitter.
Come
it's
on.
Peak, like, either I didn't go out Saturday night, or I did and I got a hangover, and I'm sitting in the bed reading the timeline.
And the games don't start till 4. Mm-hmm. I ain't ate no breakfast, or I ate my breakfast, and now mm-hmm. I'm ready to fight.
Kids running around getting on my damn nerves.
Come on. Know some folks stuck in the house.
I've never been on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sunday morning is lit. That's when a lot of stuff pop on Sunday morning.
Yeah, Sunday morning, dog. You just got to follow the right people, man. Like, Sunday morning is prime. Find a nigga with 12 followers with a fucked up opinion, and like, people start retweeting him and being like, look what these niggas be saying. And you're like, ooh, it's going down, everybody get your phones.
Get on your computers.
Like, that's like, we started doing the show in the morning on Sunday so we could watch football, but like, I do miss me some Sunday morning Twitter. Although I will say this, probably better I'm not tweeting during this time, because it is like real tightrope.
It's savage.
Like, you can say something that you would think is common sense and is cool, but people will find that angle to be like, but you ain't say this though, and it's like, oh shit, yeah. It's gonna happen to me.
Yeah, then you have a walk off.
You didn't give everyone a ring. Why'd you only give it to one woman,
nigga? Okay, so matter of fact, let's just go ahead and get into that now, man.
What is that comment? What's happening?
Okay, so Steve Harvey went to meet with Donald Trump.
But go ahead.
Right. Think like a man, act like a coon. And he goes to meet with Donald Trump. And the thing is, I don't know what they talked about, but allegedly they talked about him trying to help the black community somehow, along with Ben Carson, you know, his other black friend. And they're supposed to like link up and whatever, right? So then the inauguration is obviously coming up for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Harvey can't coming. He's not going, and he said he's not going. Long story short, he's going on vacation because his wife already booked, so it's like his wife keeping him from going to the inauguration.
Aww.
And so I tweeted like, black women saving people from themselves again, you know, because essentially that's what's gonna happen. Because nigga, you just, the photo op of Trump Tower is bad enough.
Come on.
If you be the nigga at the inauguration, it's for sure gonna rock forever. Like, people gonna be like, this nigga really went out there for a racist person's inauguration. And I know people are feel a way about, like, how y'all just going in on black people meeting with Trump. But, number one, these meetings are not serious meetings.
No.
He's not meeting with serious people. He's not meeting with policymakers. He's not meeting people experiencing.
No movers or shakers.
Yeah, not even movers or shakers, but just people with experience. Like, right. they're not people that have, they're not serious meetings. They're photo ops to say, I have black celebrity friends. That's why everyone going there is a comedian, a rapper, or a fucking athlete.
Right.
Like,
the truth be told, that's how you view black
Ray
people.
Ray Lewis and Jim Brown have moved and shaken some people.
Mm-hmm. True.
What?
Ah!
Right.
What?
I agree. They have. They've run over some people as well. But yeah, I don't treat these, it's like the people defending these people, maybe it's cause you like them or whatever, but my question is this, would you have been saying that shit with like Bull Connor? Because I feel like history is going to look back at Trump and this moment in America and go, this is a moment racism won. And a lot of people that went there to quote unquote give him a chance, we're going to look back at them and be like, what the fuck are you thinking? You can't appease a racist by going in there and shaking his hand and respecting him. That's not how it's going to work.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a look back because, I mean, arguably the people who are popping up in this particular situation are the ones who want the crossover money.
Exactly.
Like Steve Harvey has gone from a late night comedian to a progenitor of here's how you women should end up with a man, get yourself some love and this, that, and the other, to daytime talk show host, Family Feud, all that kind of stuff, and crossed over into that space of white acceptance, and he'd like to stay there. There's a lot of money in there.
Yeah. I mean, I assume the conversation was about how do we treat black women with less respect and how do we keep selling these overpriced suits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do wonder if maybe the Russians have something on him. You know, like maybe he got hacked too, and that's why he's getting there.
Yeah, they find out his polyester suits ain't really polyester. They was like, we gonna let everybody know.
Yeah, like they know the secret to how many buttons and where the button factory is for his suits or something. Who knows?
Yeah, he paying.
Buttons being made by children in China somewhere illegally.
Yes.
Oh no, that's the plot twist. They're being made in Russia, and Putin called up Steve Harvey personally to say, look, if you want these buttons, you gotta do something for me.
That's what I want to hear is, I also want to know what his plan is for, with him and Ben Carson. Like, are we going to put a suit in every pot? Are we going to be out here making sure everybody, like, making sure the whole hood feels good in their suits and they look good with their, you know, painted on hair? Like, what are we doing? We bringing hairlines back?
And you know, and maybe it's just me and maybe I got such a hot take. But I'm like, I ain't got to give Donald Trump shit. I ain't got to give him a fucking chance. Why are these people coming out talking about give him a motherfucking chance?
I actually don't understand the logic because as an individual.
That's the same chance they didn't give Obama.
Yeah, right. And then also as an individual, what does it matter if I give him a chance? I don't even understand the logic of being like, listen, black people, you have to give him a chance. He has a Republican House and a Republican Congress. And he's probably going to have a Republican Supreme Court. What the fuck chance am I blocking him from having? He's got the chance. He's doing whatever he wants to do. Now, what you really are saying is be silent and don't even object to it and don't even say anything when we capitulate to him. And fuck you. I'm going to say something every turn about this dude being a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. You got
to. It's also like, give him a chance to do what exactly, right? Like, it's not like he hasn't told us exactly what he wants to do. It's not like he hasn't told us how exactly he feels about us as black and brown people. So, like, what am I giving him a chance to do?
Yeah, I'm with John Lewis on this. Like, John Lewis, like, man, fuck that nigga. I ain't going to his inauguration. And, I mean, you know, Bernie's nowhere to be found, so.
Come on, where he's protesting, but he marching Martin Luther King. Fuck y'all.
But, I mean, when he said.
He's having dinner, or he's actually having brunch right now with Jeff Sessions, his good friend Jeff Sessions, who he thinks everyone should give a chance to.
Listen, guys.
Jeff Sessions. That was passing out materials about how black Democrats in Alabama stole votes in 2016.
Hold on, yeah, hold up. Is that a joke or is that serious?
No, that's serious. Jeff Sessions, during his confirmation.
No. Are they having brunch? Is that serious?
Oh, no, that was the joke. Okay.
Nigga.
Nigga.
What
Bernie said. You can't
tell
anyone.
What's true and what's not.
Right, well, like, they drinking mimosas and everything. Nobody told me.
Nigga, I had to take a sip of my drink, boy. I was about to go in.
Well, what Bernie actually was Pat putting his name on an amendment he knew wasn't going to pass and then using that bad amendment as a means of bludgeoning Cory Booker for not being progressive enough.
trying to make sure that Cory Booker in 2020 isn't the candidate, which is,
yes,
as a guy who's not even a Democrat, I mean, he plays the game as a politician so well, and his fans are so cult-like. It's like, I have the most, whenever I say anything about Bernie, I have the most motherfucking people that don't follow me, and when you look at their timeline, don't talk about anything except how they hate Hillary Clinton and support Bernie. Like, that's the only things they do, and I'm like, how is that your life? Like, I don't understand that depth of love for that white man, because I love the Obamas. Okay, I love them, like the family. I love Barack Obama. I think he did a
dog
right. I love Bo. I love the Bidens vicariously because I love the Obamas. Like, I love them. I stand for them. You know what I mean? Like, even as a president, I love Barack Obama. I don't think a person could have done a better. There was no candidate that would have done a better job in those 8 years. I still let niggas hate them. That's the thing. Like, if you're my friend or whatever on Facebook, and I see you be like, well, he still bombed 5 countries. You know what I say? Scroll. And I scroll right past that shit, because you're allowed to say that shit. I don't need to convince you. And also, I'm never going to convince you, but I don't need to convince you of how I think that's an unrealistic standard, and there's never going to be a president that's not involved in some war and all this shit. I don't even need to do it. Like, you got it, you figured it out. Why can't the Bernie people be the same way? They always,
I'm white, I'm mad.
Right. They always show up like, why you gotta be punching left? I'm like, ain't this nigga whole career punching left though? Like, ain't that his thing? Like, don't he attack the left and then goes, but I should be the real leader because I'm the leftist of the left people? Like, that's his thing. Why is he
did, which was take over a party to belong to, and just didn't work out.
Yo, for real,
you were worse at it than Trump. Think about that.
Yo, him and Trump are the, like, literally the social media candidates,
right?
Because they are very good at the 140 character type. I'm just gonna talk about this thing, and I'm gonna say it in a simple way, and who gives a fuck if it's realistic? Who cares? People want to hear
everybody.
Yeah, what'd you say, Bree? I'm sorry.
College, everybody.
Yeah, people want to hear what they can retweet, and what you can retweet is minimum wage $15, free college for everyone, we're gonna legalize marijuana, we don't necessarily have to have a realistic plan. We don't, like, the idea of a Congress and a Senate being against you is nothing when you're just saying the pie in the sky shit that you want to say. You know, single payer healthcare, you can just say it. And if you can just say it, then obviously people are going to be like, I support that. Everybody supports that shit. The problem is people, you know what I mean? Everybody supports that shit. The problem is people, you have to look at the realism of it and go like, okay, so now how are you going to do it though? And that's where it always gets stuck, is right when it's like,
well, that's past 140 characters.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have an actual plan because he knew he wasn't going to win.
Right. And the problem right. with, like, Hillary is that when she was talking, it was almost like Obama with the professorial, and people knocked him for it. But where he's like, well, here's the nuances of this explanation. This is why you can't do it the way this person says you can do it. But here's what you could do. You know, it's like when whenever they would talk about healthcare, Bernie's like, single payer healthcare. It's a shame we don't have it. We should have single payer healthcare. We didn't go far enough. And then Hillary's like, we can improve on the Affordable Care Act and then, you know, work towards this thing. And then Trump's just like, repeal it. The two things that get retreated the most are single payer health care and repeal it. Like, the middle nuanced shit, don't nobody want to hear all that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
They ain't trying to do Hillary Clinton out there. She doing a tweet longer. She stringing her tweets together. People's like, I'm not reading that bullshit.
Not reading all of that.
Yeah, like, that's what happened with her. People's like, no.
You know, the rest of our lives.
Too much to read.
Yeah, I'm not opening that up and reading 20 links. No, yeah. Thank you.
Hillary man. Waiting on everybody to go thread and then, like, link to her shit. Meanwhile, you can
and
just
actually care and read something.
Yeah. No. Meanwhile, like, Bernie and Trump just have, like, a picture. It's like, retweet this meme. You're like,
right. And you have it where you
I
shot.
Agree.
Yeah, this is like, this is like, this is like the Affordable Care Act, but it got the crying Jordan face on, and it's like, oh yeah, retweet, I agree.
Yeah, people hit that Henry tweet. You know how you run out of space, and before you know it, you got that. If you would like to see more, click on this link for at tweet long. You know.
Well, Steve Harvey went to meet with Trump, and his wife said can't go to inauguration. And thank you, Marjorie Harvey. I don't know how you deal with that dude on the day to day, but thank you for saving everybody from having to keep this ordeal going any longer than it needed to be.
You want me to tell you, she probably looked at that and he was like, I'm going to the Trump Tower. And at first she was like, okay, I'll let you go, cool. Then he was like, oh, and I got tickets to the inauguration, me and you going. She was like, no, we not, nigga. Right. I'm not hearing all my friends call me. I'm not getting lit up on Facebook and Instagram. I know you don't give a fuck about being fried, but I'm not getting fried up your ass too. Fuck you, nigga. Make plans for a vacation. We ain't got no plans. Make the motherfucking plans today and go out there and tell them these plans was booked 3 weeks ago.
You know how much I would.
Cause ain't nobody buying them suits and stuff. No. The people who buy them suits, you don't want to do that.
Right.
Come on. Your loyal radio listeners, cause I don't care what you say. It's a lot of old black people that's mad at Trump. And he put like this. Me and Roger talked about this. Like Roger said, he gonna find a way to spin it with his ass not going to that inauguration. But his ass go to that inauguration, them old black folks gonna be like, no, no, nigga, I might need to go on back to Tom Joyner.
K&G K&G would go out of business, okay? K&G would be done within a week if he went to that inauguration. I would literally pay $100 to hear the voicemail D.L. Hewley left that nigga though, cause...
Woo. You know he called him immediately.
Woo! I know that King's Comedy. I know that phone line blew up, boy. Like, boy, what the fuck do you think you doing?
If they had a number two, that got canceled right there.
Right. Oh man, I'll pay to hear that. Just, well, I think we need to meet with Trump. That's what Obama said. Nigga, fuck Trump.
Like, stick his toe in the water. Because honestly, if I was invited to Barack Obama's inauguration, I wouldn't care where I was going.
Right.
I would be at the inauguration just like, I'm so sorry. I have the grunion running. I can't.
Right.
I can't attend.
Listen, there's only one time where we can afford to put your surgery in for your incurable cancer. Well, I'm sorry. It can't be during the inauguration because I got to go.
I'm sorry. It don't have to be the next day.
Yeah.
I'll pay the cancellation fee. I'm good.
I'm good. Like, come on now.
It's not like you can't pay the cancellation fee on a vacation.
Come on now. Yeah, he don't want to go to that shit. And Major Reed was like, listen, we ain't going.
That's
so,
the thing, because you know he I don't got know two how, tickets, and she was like, I'm not going.
I don't know how you going to explain this to everybody, but what I do know, you won't catch my black ass in the cold by myself looking like a chocolate chip in a sea of white supremacists.
Come on.
For your ass.
Come on, and something.
Like your long button suit while they call you ghetto behind your back.
Right.
Come on, and something Roger brought up too, which made sense. He was saying a lot of people that support Trump, they too poor to be able to go to inauguration because you have, like, they did the thing where they was like, people who got like bus permissions and shit like that for DC. That was like, it was 200 for the inauguration and almost 2,000 for the women gonna be protesting. That's a big ass difference.
Yeah, nobody wanna be at that nigga inauguration.
Come on.
Though.
Come on.
They're not even going to be selling Trump
especially
shirts.
With all the guns.
Yeah. No, can you even have guns?
The FBI is that his fans are so Second Amendment that they're probably all going to bring guns.
Which is highly illegal in D.C., right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Big problem.
Nigga.
So Homeland Security and a bunch of other – there's reports going around from Homeland Security and a bunch of other people that are like, yeah, Trump's inauguration, we're going to have to up Secret Service and up security, not out of a threat to the president's life, but because we know the types of people he attracts, and they don't gel with the denizens of D.C., like the blacker denizens of D.C.
Even in Cleveland, when they had the RNC, like, the fucking Cleveland police had to come out and be like, okay, guys, the Second Amendment thing, you're overdoing it, all right? I mean... we get it, y'all Blue Lives Matter and all that shit, yeah, we appreciate it. I'm gonna need you to put the guns away though before you come up through here fucking up the whole city that y'all don't live in.
Arrest y'all.
Yeah, motherfuckers. Anyway,
we'll let you go and won't find you, but we gotta arrest you for appearance.
Thank you, Majorie Harvey, is what I wanted to say. Okay, and so I said black women were saving, you know, to go back to the full circle, black women saving people from themselves, you know, and that shit got retweeted a lot. And then some white dude came through and was like, really, you know, all wives I was like, no, I'm talking about Major E. Harvey and the black women just like her. That's what I'm saying. And he was like, yeah, but I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I didn't know you were going to be racist. I was like, I don't know that giving black women props is racist. I didn't knock anybody else. I didn't say nobody else could do it. I mean, if you want to give props to your male wife for your trash ass tweets, do that. Nobody's stopping you. Man, that dude was mad as fuck for like he's probably still tweeting me. I just get like, cause on my phone, sometimes like I'll block somebody on Twitter, but then on my phone, it'll pop up sometimes. Right. And I did something else, went out to eat, like looked at my phone. This nigga was still talking about meals hours later. So I was like, dude, I get it. All wives matter to you. Okay. I only care about black wives though. That's the only people I was talking about in that discussion. What the fuck? Like, people was trying to explain it to him. I was like, y'all wasting y'all time. Right. He don't want to get it, man. White people be so fucking fragile. It's just bow bites all over the place. Ugh.
Like anytime praise is given and they aren't centered around the praise, they take that as, oh, you're talking bad about me. Yep. I just said black women are the best of us, because if 2016 has taught us anything, black women will try to save everyone from themselves.
Nigga. And then, you know what's wild though? You know what the wildest part about all that shit is? They get it. They definitely do get it, because, like if I were to say something like, oh man, black people sure can dance. No one goes, well, white people can dance too. You know what I mean? Nobody says that. Like, when it's something that they're okay with, they don't say shit. It's only when I'm like, and you know, a lot of times, specifically when you prop black women anyway,
come on.
It's like, we got to come up and be like, well, white girls rock too. It's like, right, nigga, no one talking to y'all.
Right. And praising black women is the motherfucking back signal to white supremacists and hotep. They come out of goddamn nowhere. Oh, you said something? Here come. You like, fuck y'all.
Yo, this morning, man, we're all over the place, but fuck it.
It don't matter. It's our show.
So this morning, the Hawks announced that they are going to discipline the GM, Wes, I want to say Wilcox or something.
Yeah, should.
The guy who we talked about, he said this off-color joke about how essentially he was at a shareholders meeting with season ticket holders and stuff for the Hawks, which is in Atlanta, which means a lot of black people. Come right on. He basically says like, they're asking him some tough questions. Hey, why y'all not playing this guy? Why so-and-so on the bench? What about this rotation? How come you playing these
why
people
y'all this suck at basketball?
Exactly. Like, you know, and he felt that the tone of the questions was getting angrier. And so he tried to diffuse the situation by going, hey, guys, I'm used to angry, aggressive questions. I got a black wife and three mixed kids at home. And, right.
Yes.
Right.
Remember, this is, you remember the T.I. Steve Coonan yes. video? This yes. is the same franchise.
Yeah, this is the same.
They had to get rid of their old owner because mm-hmm. he was making racist comments. And, like, it's almost as if there's an institutional issue there around race that keeps them saying dumb shit.
Be there! They had to get rid of Danny Ferry. Cause Danny Ferry was there when he said the shit about, Luau Deng is like an African shopkeeper or something. Then you had the owner who said he didn't really want black fans featured prominently and it was making other people not come to the events and shit. He had to get gone. And then you got this motherfucker. But here's the thing. The difference between Danny Ferry and the other owner, I see black men trying to catch the bullet for this dude on some like, that's not really racist, man. And, you know, it was offensive and inappropriate, but racist? I wouldn't say that. And I'm like, that's because it's targeted directly at black women.
Right.
So then we pull this bullshit about we don't see it and it's no big deal because we're not putting ourselves in women's shoes at all. Mm-hmm. I was like, change one word, change angry to lazy. And niggas would be like, fire this dude. What is he even doing with a job? God damn it, I hate this franchise. Y'all racist. It's embarrassing. Right. They, you know what I mean? Adam Silver, you need to do something. All that shit. This is the same league that got rid of, Sterling, cause he was recorded doing a private phone call talking about black people. Nigga, this dude could and should be disciplined. And whatever this one's happening to him, I guarantee fucking it is so minimal. Like, it is 100% like, sensitivity training, you take a class online. Like, it's some old bullshit. Like, hey, can you just kind of like not do the black jokes anymore? And he's like, right, cool.
Cause this ain't no goddamn comedy routine. You're doing something professional for us. Nobody came for your goddamn stand up, sir.
Right. And he's going to go right back to work and he's going to be fine. And yet somehow black men that I've seen, mostly black men, not saying only and all this shit, not even saying most black men, but still the people who have defended it to me have been mostly black men who are saying it's basically it's no big deal. And that's because we trucking that same shit. Like, we'll do the angry black women like shit, and so we don't feel the sting of it. If anything, a lot of times we promote it and benefit from marginalizing our sisters on some, like, they just angry and crazy and that's why what they're saying doesn't make sense.
Right.
So you can't come in and be like, listen, regardless of my male privilege, this shit does not bother me, okay? And I would know. Like, nigga, no, you wouldn't know, because it's not your lived experience. Black women themselves were saying, like, yeah, that shit's racist, he shouldn't have said that. I don't know what they do at home, but you don't say that in public to anybody, and you don't know all those people. And niggas was still like, yeah, but really, sis, think about it this way. It's like, nigga.
Yeah, I'm not trying.
I know how y'all joke at home, but y'all gotta, you can't tell all your inside jokes outside.
No.
Well, even, let's break down the joke. Like, the crux of the joke, the punchline is, I've got an angry black wife, guys. And, like, the reason why I think so many black men jump to defend that is because they believe that shit, right? Like, they believe the angry black woman trope. And, like, they're normally the first ones to jump up and say, hey, y'all, white girls are evolving. See? Get you a white girl, they're not angry like these independent black women. It's just like, they traffic in anti-blackness as a way to control and manipulate women. Because if they keep saying, yo, black women are angry, they can find a black woman that is so desperate for validation that they'll mold themselves to, like, I'm not this. See? I'm acceptable. I'm respectable.
Pick me.
Yeah. Well, that's because, as we've recapped on our show repeatedly, they hate women. Right. And every time you do that, they come in with the, I don't hate women, I have blah, 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 blah. Just because you like how they make your dick feel doesn't mean you like them.
Yeah, it's amazing because, like, in this instance, you have the guys, like, people that get, like, super hypersensitive with sports shit. Like, people that would spend, like, all week arguing about Skip Bayless saying that Odell Beckham Jr. shouldn't have been on a boat, and that's why he couldn't catch passes last week. Like, they'll argue all week, like, the minutia of that, how it's, like, racist, and it goes against the lazy black person stereotype, and they'll be like, fuck him, he's race baiting. Like, all week they will break it down 8 hours a day like it's their goddamn job. Then you say something about black women, it's like, nah, come on now, y'all just being sensitive. It's amazing the disconnect that motherfuckers have, man. So, yeah, man, it was just, I'm glad dude got quote unquote punished. I would love to know the specifics of that discipline though.
Me too.
But I'm glad dude got punished and that they're public about it. And like, it's funny because, like, one of the Atlanta Hawks, like, press people, whoever runs their Twitter account, like, favorited that tweet when I was like, yeah, good, this nigga need to go get disciplined. And I was like, damn, even the Hawks is like, I don't know, maybe they got a black woman running that department. She was like, yes, favorite. This nigga is tripping. But yeah, man, it's amazing. And I do think that, you know, a lot of brothers, they, like, even the guy who, like, started this shit this morning with me, he tried to appeal at the end on some, like, yeah, man, well, because a lot of, you know, black women follow me and they saw this exchange and they start going at him like, hey, dog, what the fuck are you saying? And he was like, after they, you know, was roasting his ass, he came back like, yo, man, I would troll these black women, but my battery low. You know what I'm saying? I was like, don't reach out for no lifeline, nigga, trying to be on some, like, because we both men, right? We can laugh at these women. Bye, nigga. Like, I don't want my timeline to take up your battery space. So I had to block him. But the point being, like, even during that time, he still did what the GM did, which is, I'm gonna reach across to the gender gap and go, well, you, as a man, can't you just see that, isn't it funny how women be tripping? Like, that was really what the Talks GM joke was, and that's really what that dude's joke was at the end, which goes right back to the point, yeah, niggas are willing to throw black women under the bus for some gain. That's it.
right, and I think it's very frustrating, particularly me living a life where my whole life existence, not trying to be funny, it's been fighting against the angry black woman.
Right.
And I'm not an angry black woman. I am literally probably one of the nicest people you will ever meet in your life. I do get angry, and I can get angry, but I try my best not to do that, because the second you start to show any form of emotion, the second your tone of your voice change, even if you're justified and validated in your anger, it's immediately dismissed because I got a vagina and titties. But if I swung my dick around, I would get all the respect in the room, and everybody would come to me like they got motherfucking common sense. Why do I have to show my ass to get the same fucking respect as a man?
And people love when the angry black woman is on their side, right?
Yeah.
Like, let a nigga get shot in the street. Oh, not only do you love it, you expect it. Like, you expect free labor, essentially. Like, all right, black women, get information. They shooting us. Let's go march. You know what I'm saying? Like, immediately. You know, like, we don't get left out to dry very often as black men. Like, there's no situation where listen, of the people defending Steve Harvey's just coonerific mannerisms on that going to meet Trump, it's mostly like church going black women that are fans of his that are like, well, we gotta give people a chance, let's not prejudge, because like, no matter how fucked up and toxic we are, we can still always be defended, because it's just that loyalty that's there. But we don't have that loyalty the other way back, man. We are quick to cut ties when it doesn't benefit us. So yeah, absolutely that. And I know part of the reason that you're overly nice, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is because of, you do have to put on a face for the public of like, yo, I don't want these motherfuckers trying to typecast, stereotype me into a way where they can dismiss me. Like,
right.
If I'm nice, they'll at least hear out my gripe. But if I go off on their ass, all of a sudden it's, well, she's just being angry and crazy, and black women are like that, and so we don't have to pay attention to them. So, and you're looking at me like I said something wrong, so I'm gonna just move on.
No, you didn't. I'm in the I am. I'm 100%.
Karen looked at me like she had a flashback, like that one motherfucker. Let's talk about him now.
No, we ain't gonna talk about him now. But you're making me think about how, you know, when you're talking about how black men depend on black women and how you want black women on your side. And yeah, it's jokes about when it comes to black women in customer service. Because mm-hmm. yeah, we had an incident here, but with AT&T, by the time I got through with them, they gave us the discount better than we had. They gave us back more money than they were supposed to.
Right.
They flagged our account where every time we called, they asked if we want to speak to a manager. Right. Because, it was funny because Roger had to call me off because, honey, I was the dog. I got off. I told that woman I was not happy with the answer she gave me, and she was going to hear back from me again, and I was going to write my angry white woman letter because I went through with her, because I was gonna get blood.
Listen, and that's why
I the other thing about being a woman, I think not only is it that you as a woman are always labeled as emotional, right. but as a black woman, your emotion is automatically negative. I saw somebody talk about how Latina women are romanticized for their spiciness and their, you know, their right. ability to be angry and passionate and this, that, and the other. It's the same emotions that are put into a positive light when it's not centered on black women.
Yep.
Correct.
You don't have to have the same consideration of quote unquote emotion when it's attached to a black woman, because then it's automatically negative. It doesn't matter what it is, it's automatically going to be negative. You can put it on any other race of people and just like, yep, it's fun when it's Latina women or this, that, and the other, but black women is just nasty and yeah. wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the playbook. Spider Y2 banana, gaslight.
Oklahoma.
No, Oklahoma is throw women under the bus. And blue 15 use women as your mule, specifically black women.
Yo, and someone
those are the three plays. Like, that's you just keep using them and eventually you score. Like, that's
yo, someone tried to say they're like, yeah, so you just trying to be profound and progressive, and I was like, yo, what about being decent is profound. I'm not advocating no, like, none of them that I said is so fucking out there. Like, it's like, it, I really be feeling like Brad Pitt in fucking 12 Years a Slave with that "these niggas are people" type shit. Like, it's not some profound shit. I didn't take no classes. It's just like, I can see how that would be racist towards black women. Oh, here you go, trying to be special. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, they think you're being special. And it's funny, though, because even though the attack isn't the same for men, particularly black men, and when they do stand up for black women, because there are a lot of good black men that actually do. They're not quiet. They don't sit by the side. They're coming out and saying shit. But it's weird, though, because to a lot of black men, and particularly Hotep dudes, y'all are snowflakes. What do you, why are you standing in front of somebody that you ain't trying to fuck or have kids by or not related to them or some shit like
what
that?
What are you getting out of this?
Right. And a lot of them assume that you're getting pussy, or they assume that you're gay, or they assume that you're bisexual because that's quote unquote women traits, and that's good. Let's stand. Like, they do things to quote unquote attack your manhood, you know, versus when a black woman, you know, they can attack me with rape threats and harming me. With black men, they don't attack you with rape threats and shit like that.
Yeah. Right. Which, I mean, come on, dog. I had sex this morning. What are you doing? It's a waste of time.
You out here trying to be a good person,
right?
Trying to support people, trying to be helpful. What are you, gay?
Right,
right.
What is this empathy thing, man? Empathy ain't—that's not men do. We ain't empathetic,
right? I don't even empathy, be. The thing is,
you do with your dick.
I don't even be feeling like good after, you know, like it's not. I only feel bad because I'll be like, damn, people are fucked up. Like, I never feel like I showed the internet today, guys, give me a gold star. Like, I fucking woo, high five everybody. Like, I always end up logging off like, the world is terrible and we should really not have exist anymore. Like, let the comet hit and let's just start over, because obviously shit is fucked.
Let's do control alt delete.
Yeah, like aliens need to invade.
2017.
can aliens invade so it can turn quick to like Independence Day and we can all come together and Nazi race? Because it's really we need a bigger threat to come together, because apparently just it's not happening. Speaking of which, wait, what'd you say?
What'd you say? Unrealistic part about that volcano movie with Tommy Lee Jones was the idea that one volcano and some ash was going to make everyone come together and not see race.
That wasn't the unrealistic part. The unrealistic part is the fact that ash would just rain on people like snow and they wouldn't burn up instantly. That was the unrealistic part.
That was more realistic than the race thing.
And what's funny is that I do feel like that was more realistic, because years later, we have a whole segment of YouTube that's full of people covered in ash, and they flourishing. So,
Johnston.
Yeah, they was ahead of time, okay? They was ahead of their time. Let's talk about some. Oh, wait, there is one more thing related to this inauguration. Jennifer Holliday was like, I'm about to go. And go sing at Trump's inauguration. And she will no longer be going to sing at his inauguration.
Okay.
She pulled out.
I know I might be ignorant, but have I heard anything from Jen? Who is Jennifer Holliday?
Okay. And the thing with Jennifer Holliday that I find funny is like, she's really exercising the right to pull out, because that's all women are going to be able to use for
the only method
the next 4 years after the Republicans get done.
It's just
the pull out method.
Honey,
that's it.
The only method, honey. You're going to be like, you have to be abstinent, be like, nah, I know I can't get pregnant. Everything I fuck going to be plugged in the wall or D battery. If you ain't one of them objects, we ain't fucking.
She released a statement. My only choice must now be to stand with the LGBT community and to state unequivocally that I will not perform for the welcome concert or for any of the inauguration festivities. Please know that I hear you and I feel your pain. The LGBT community was mostly responsible for birthing my career, and I am deeply indebted to you. You have loved me faithfully and unconditionally, and for so many years, you provided me with work even though my star had long since faded.
Yeah, cause she was like, yeah, I do it. Then somebody was like, hey girl, hey, I know you old and you don't keep a top on, you know, keep a track of everything, but you don't want to do that. And she was like, oh no, I don't want to do that. My bad. I ain't trying to fuck my money up.
I'm a little interested in knowing why. Like, was it really the LGBT or was it that niggas was like, don't you do that?
I feel like somebody pulled her coattail and was like, Jennifer, listen, you don't need these problems, okay?
I'd like to show you the demographics of your sales. This is your main constituency,
and this is what they think of this guy. And now I'm going to hold up a zero for how much money you're going to make if you do this.
Yo, Majory Harvey was like, and I got one more phone call to make, Steve. Hold on.
She put on three-way.
Yeah, let me put Jennifer on three-way. Girl, what's wrong with you? You better not. You want to go on vacation with us? Do you want to go on vacation with us?
If it was me and I knew where I fell on the totem pole of stardom at this point in my life, and I felt like they got to me, like on the list of people, they had gotten to me, I would already know something was wrong.
Look, there's a reason Three Doors Down and the best Springsteen cover band are the top performers right now.
Yeah,
and the Rockettes are allowed to get out. Like, if you don't want to perform, then you don't have to. Like, that's where we've gotten to at this point.
Yeah, I bet you she probably got that. And that call from Tom during the morning show was like, hey, girl, we had you booked on our 2019 cruise. We going to cancel that shit.
Mm-hmm. You right. You right.
Yeah, because Tom Jordan them do that every year. Them all people come back. America's
Got Talent a couple years ago, the little opera singing girl.
Yeah.
The little blonde girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They got her to sing. Like, this is going to be the saddest inauguration.
Toby Keith, probably.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be whack when he started talking about, we're just going to do a very, like, solemn, you know, big, we don't want to make a big show of it. And I was like, oh, you mean nobody took your calls. Got it.
Right.
Yeah. That racist white guy who doesn't get to do the Monday Night Football opening anymore.
Oh, Bo Sivis.
Yeah, that dude that lost his job.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be, like, Toby Keith probably going to be there. You know, like a lot of them motherfuckers can't wait. You gonna have to let you know what? So yo, you know what I just realized, what happened to all the black people that was like on his dick during the campaign? Is he not rewarding any of them?
No.
Diamond and that other one, I keep forgetting.
Omarosa?
Diamond and Silk.
Freaking Frack.
Yeah.
Diamond and Silk, are they gonna get to come?
Oh, they're not going.
Wow.
Because they ain't getting no tickets.
They ain't get invited, or they just can't afford to make it out there?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, probably yes to both. He was like, here's your ticket, but I ain't flying you.
I honestly hope they're just character actors and they're going to release a book later, because I don't know what the fuck those women are thinking. Like, Thanksgiving must be so fucked up.
Yeah, they ain't getting no white people money.
Like, maybe that's wigs and prosthetics and shit, and then, like, in real life, they just go to regular ass work. But then they got to make their Diamond and Silk money, so they get in the character.
Ah!
You know, put on the fake ass weave and do what they got to do. I don't know. Y'all tell me, but.
That's the thing. It's like, even if you black and you want to step and fetch it up for the audience, it's never going to be as palatable as, say, Tammy, what's her name?
Exactly. Because yo,
they threw Stacey Dash off the bus for cussing on camera. That was the mark. That was just like, okay,
listen,
we've used what we needed, and now we're going to get rid of her. Or like the chick who can't cook chicken.
GOP yep. Black chick who got muscled out by Stacey Dash. Yes. Stacey Dash got thrown overboard.
Yes.
And now we got Diamond and Silky. And Omarosa probably is the one who got them. Like, wait, I've been here longer. I lost more family and friends. You are not doing this to me.
Yeah, GOP.
I'm going to write a tell-all book, doggone it.
I remember on Twitter, GOP Whack Chicken was fucking arguing and talking about how it's racist that Republicans can be racist and shit. And people were like, welcome back to the fold. It's about time. I said, yeah, calm down, y'all. Let's see where this is going, because I'm pretty sure she's just mad that she didn't get on TV.
Right.
Like, I just want, why can't my anti-blackness get first bidden? Like, I put in the time of hating my people. Like, that's all.
I don't get invited to the Phantom Reunions or the cookouts, y'all. Come on now. I sacrificed.
Right. That's all that shit was. And yeah, it was funny because I said, even after that meeting with Trump, Steve Harvey won't have Diamond and Silk on his TV show because that would end up helping black women, and he can't do that. can't hurt his brand like that. Let some black women get ahead. Oh man. Let's see what else is happening in the news. Ringling Brothers Circus is closing after 146 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess people stopped going.
We talked about this I think yesterday. The thing about the circus is that I had a feeling of this because I read that particular article. And once they stopped doing elephants, sales tanked. Because, you know, as time went on, you have a lot of PETA animal rights people that came and was like, yeah, we don't like the way you're treating elephants. You're mistreating elephants. But it was the biggest attraction. And so you have a small percentage of people that was like, I'm not going. But most people was like, I come from the elephants. I don't want to see no tigers and no bears. I want to see elephants. They took away the elephants and people stopped coming.
Yep.
And the tickets got ridiculously expensive.
Well, if people aren't coming.
I almost Black Circus. I go to the Universal Circus. That was my circus.
They still in business.
I've never been before, but everybody says a lot of people say it is actually better. A lot of them says
you should go.
I've been before.
You should go. It's good. Yeah. just on that. Support Black business. Universal Circus.
I mean, listen, if I want to see black clowns, I will just continue to watch Steve Harvey Show. And support what? I'm just gonna keep watching Trump Towers live feed and see who goes to show up. Natalie Portman revealed that this is white people news. What is this doing here? No, I got in that segment.
I was like, Natalie Portman, I think she's an actress. You know me.
Yeah, That's my bad. Birdman and Cash Money allegedly hid millions in profits from Drake.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Oh shit, well, underneath the bed, how they hit the millions?
He's being sued. He's allegedly on the hook for $51 million withheld cash and profits with Lil Wayne. But now another company is accusing him of doing the same with Drake.
Yeah, that's why they fell out.
Imagine $50 million missing that you didn't know about.
Man. What? Yeah, you're gonna hear from me too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm be like the bill collector. I'm gonna call y'all ass every. I want every dime, every motherfucking day. Yes, it's me again. It's me. Yeah. Uh huh. It's me. I call back another album.
He's supposed to be getting audited from all the Lil Wayne stuff, though, right?
Yeah.
Mm hmm.
Think so. So when is Drake's bus mysteriously gonna get shot up?
I don't know, because I don't feel like Drake's about that life at all.
He's not. No. The suit would be dropped in that case. Like.
Yeah,
he's not living.
No, like Lil Wayne shit got shot up, and he was like, "I still want my money." I'm like, "Nigga, what? Y'all can have it. Y'all catch me? I'll be in the cubicle with my face having them tattoos on it.
Lil Wayne
wouldn't even
care. I still want my money, and now I'm insulted because you tried to kill me.
Right?
Lil Wayne in the hood, New Orleans. This ain't the first time you've been shot at.
Cash money, take
whatever.
Nine,
I want
nine,
my money.
Right?
Drake." No, Drake will be rolling around in a wheelchair like Jimmy. Like, I don't want to fight. I just want to go.
I feel like it'll be like,
just get along.
I feel like it'll be that one scene, I'm going to get you, sucker, where they start shooting and Keenan Ivory Wayne is walking around talking about, they shooting. Like, I feel like that'll be Drake in the shootout because I don't think he's about that life on any level.
I don't think he keeps adopting places. Like, he was adopted Houston for a while. He's adopted the islands. He just adopts places.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
With street credibility.
That is true.
As needed only.
The Stacey Francis gets very raunchy and shares the details of a year Wesley Snipes.
I don't know who this woman is.
Stacey Francis. She's I can put her picture up.
Okay, because you know me. What color is she?
She's black.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, this will be in white people news if she wasn't black. I mean, come on. I do remember rumors about, like, I don't know if y'all remember this, but y'all remember rumors when people like Wesley Snipes only had sex with Asian women or some shit like that, and y'all remember those rumors? No, just me.
I do remember hearing something like that.
I remember something like he only liked white women or something.
Yeah, it was like Asian women are docile or some shit. I don't know if this was back before the internet, kids. This was back when like someone would just come to school and be like, "Did you watch Oprah?" Because that's what they said, you know.
No, refresh, baby. You're lagging.
Oh, okay. Actually, let me go to the next session then.
Okay, he gonna go to the next.
Yeah, session. It won't cut them off. They're on Skype. But yeah, this might take a minute behind the scenes. But yeah, I just remember those discussions, but that was back before we had like verifiable information. It'd just be like, you know, Wesley Snipes said Tommy Hilfiger racist, and you like, for real? Yep, saw it on Ricky Lake. You're like, oh, okay. Well,
Ricky.
It must have happened.
Ricky Lake.
She tried to have a little comeback a few years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I miss Jenny Jones. Jenny Jones used to be my
Jenny
Jones used to be my joint.
After school, what you talking about?
Yeah, mine was Ricky.
Girls and them geek to sheep.
mine was Ricky Lake because Ricky always felt like she was out of control of her audience. Like she just, like she never felt in control of what was happening on the stage. And for some reason, that just made it so much better. Karen, it's completely frozen on my end. Let me close. I'm just gonna close it try to come back in. Yeah.
No problem. I think the thing I love the most about the Talk Shine TV show thing, the only people that, well, the only person that survived was Jerry.
Jerry, Maury.
And it's about fighting and Shawanda, we want to see after your 15th time on here, did we find a real baby daddy?
Yeah.
No, we did not.
We'll be back next season.
Like, you know, you
That's his baby. Look at the baby earlobes. They got the same earlobes.
And the audience.
Oh, the one where
the audience always is on the mom side, too, because they be like, oh, he do. Take care of your kids. That ain't my kids. That ain't my baby. Boo. Boo. Like, really be going in. Like, they are 100.
The one with the cousins where both kids weren't his. That was so great.
Yeah, that's the thing. That audience will flip on a woman so fast when the results come back. Yeah.
They give you the benefit of the doubt in the beginning, but don't make me, as an audience member, don't play me for the fool now.
Right.
I came out here to cheer for you and booed this man, and then you know.
Hey, baby, I ain't serving nobody else.
You are not the father.
That nigga hit that.
I need to be the cameraman backstage. He got to run all over the place with that doggone camera.
Right. Meanwhile, he hit that slow bop, like kind of jog after her. Like, yeah, let's find her. They be locked all the doors. People be standing in front of doors so you can't get out. And they come through like, yeah. So, what's going through your mind right now?
Father curled up in the fetal position backstage.
Yes.
Don't run out. I feel like you just get up, walk away calmly, walk out the back door, and just keep walking. Like, don't scream, don't run, don't do nothing. Just walk. I'm just walking out. Just leaving.
Yeah.
That's just it.
And the thing about Jerry, when Jerry Springer and Fred Fresh came out, I was in college, and this is when they used to really just let them fight. So, back in the day, everybody would, like, in their classes, everybody would, like, hover in like one or two rooms and sit and like literally watch them brawl. And you know, once you got the bouncers involved, it wasn't as good no more. But when they was like, bitch, I told you that's my that ain't your baby. I told you that ain't your baby. Bitch, yes, that is his baby. Can't you see by the color of them eyes and the way the baby nose flares? I'm 1,000% sure. And then they bring their family and their friends out there. Yeah, I was here for all of that.
Yeah. The other thing I remember from that time too is that's also back when they used to be like, we're gonna bring on this dude and he's a white supremacist, and then they would be like, the white supremacists would be out there and he would talk about like, I hate niggers and you know, I hate the gay people and I have this, that and the other, and then like one by one Jerry would just bring out the people he was talking shit about. But like, well, we also got some Black Panthers here. And we thought that they would come out on stage, and they would just like come out on stage and like fucking like spear that dude. You know what I mean? Like just tackle. Like it wasn't even a discussion where they came out. Was like, it was just like, they would let that dude say the most vile, hateful shit of like, all Black people stink and I hate them and they're niggers. And then it's like, all right. And we just bring out some, the HBCU marching band for Howard, and then just beat the fuck out that dude.
With all the instruments.
Oh my god. And then after the fight, what was so wild is after the fight, they would still sit on stage together. Like they would fight, go to commercial, come back, and it's just motherfuckers bleeding on stage, breathing real hard, and then they say like two more sentences and fight, because Jerry be like, now, Deshaun, what did you think about Cletus's early comments? Well, I think he a racist ass cracker and I'll fuck him up. That's what I think, Jerry. And then the motherfucking other dude be like, well, listen, I just think you people need to get off welfare. Oh, that's it. And they fight again. Like, oh, I missed that part of TV, man. Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, we're back.
We'll never get that magic back again.
Yeah, we're back. Once they started suing niggas, it was a wrap for that kind of talk show.
There was a special episode of Jerry Springer that actually brought out a KKK dude with some black Israelites. And it was so magical because he was sitting there in his full Klan regalia, had the robe, and he was just like, white power, white power. They came out. One dude gave him the quick 1-2. He was on the ground. They just stopped. They just got to stomping. And I was just like, this is magical.
Once Jenny Jones got sued because like a nigga got killed, it was a wrap. Like all the fun was over because we couldn't imagine that it wasn't real people no more and shit.
Yeah,
you know.
You know, something even better. I don't know if y'all watch this, but me and Roger's one of our favorite shows of all times is Cheetahs.
When the dude got stabbed.
Yes. We watched the episode.
I got that on DVD.
We watched the episode when it aired because we used to love it. And me and Roger watched that because for those of you who don't know about Cheetahs, it would be somebody would write them a letter talking about, I think my spouse or significant other, you know, is cheating on me. And they would do investigation, go follow them and shit like that. And then they would come back to them and show them. And they would be like at the height of their madness. And they were like, we know you're emotional, but would you like to confront them?
Let's go confront them.
Right. Yes.
Was in like Texas.
Right.
Like, motherfuckers.
No, it was in, I know somebody that was on the show. It was in Dallas.
Yes.
The show was set in Dallas.
There was one.
Watching the show like, oh snap, they on Greenville Avenue.
Yo, that was one episode where they rolled up on a nigga and he just pulled a gun out and they had to, like, they was like, and when we come back, the confrontation. Down. And then when they came up on him, man, nigga was like, well then fuck it, man, you wanna talk? And it was like, whoa, go, man, let's go. They got the fuck out of there. Cause it was real. They had to, and they started making it fake too after a while. Cause you know, it was not safe after he got stabbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know if y'all ever watched the Spanish version.
Mm-mm. They got a Spanish version.
Y'all never watched Secretos?
No.
Oh, no.
What was that?
I need to get on this.
I don't speak Spanish.
Goodness. It's Cheetahs in Spanish. You don't have to. I don't either.
It's universal.
It's Cheetahs in Spanish. And it is the most wonderful thing ever. Because you don't even need to speak the language.
Damn.
You can just go with everything that's happening on the camera. And you can tell everything that's happening. Mm. I used to watch the Spanish version all the time. I don't know if they show it other places. Maybe it's just because it's Texas. But I promise y'all, Secretos. I used to watch me some Secretos all the time.
Well, all I know is...
shit now.
That episode where Joey Greco got stabbed on that boat was... top five funniest things ever happened on a reality show.
Ever.
Well, like, he'd be instigating. Do you want to tell her why you've been cheating on her and she's been home with your kids for the past?
He really be like the most annoying ass friend of the person getting cheated on. Cause you know, it's like that, like, and sometimes the people do like, baby, please, can we just talk away from the cameras? Can we just talk? I don't want to talk to him. I don't know him. He's like, no, sir, you're going to talk to us right now. You're going to explain exactly what happened. I'm like, okay, nigga, when he punch
you
in your face.
Owe her an explanation?
Yo, and when he first started doing it, he had like no security. Like, that's why he got stabbed. Going out there with a fucking boom mic and one camera told me you ain't getting stabbed. Nigga, of course you got stabbed.
And then who was his boy that would always get him the news?
Gomez.
Gomez. The thing about Gomez, we never saw Gomez's face, y'all. Never. Gomez's face was always pixelated out. Cause Gomez probably lived in Texas and had another job. He was like, I can't, people.
If you knew who Gomez was, you know you, when you were on Cheetahs.
Right.
I know motherfuckers was looking around for a random Latino man all times when it was a day side chick. Like, hold on.
Good luck. This is Dallas. Yeah. You have fun with that.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you know they had to be paranoid. Up at IHOP, like, look at that. Who's that dude by himself? Why you got a hat on?
Up at FB's doing a 2 for $20.
He ain't even order nothing. Oh shit. I'm getting that feeling, baby. We gotta get out of here. But yeah, that was the best, man. That was my favorite show for a long time. Then it stopped coming on here, even though it didn't get canceled.
Right. And then they had like another dude and he wasn't as good.
When Joey got stabbed, Joey Greco got stabbed and they tried to keep the show going. That's so crazy. It was like, I think he was just like the producer and he was not as good as Joey. He couldn't ask the right questions.
No, he was terrible.
Cause like part of the reason Joey Greco was good is cause he was willing to get stabbed. He was willing to get stabbed during any confrontation. And the other dude had that fear in his heart, man. He was just like, well, sir, can you, okay, you don't want to explain? Okay, well, let's go, guys. I'm like, nigga, what are you doing? Like, you got to probe this motherfucker, man. Get in there. Yeah. Oh, it was so annoying.
You got to walk in with the confidence of Max and Neve that I won't be shot going up to this house.
Listen, post stabbing, when Greco got back, there were multiple confrontations where he told the security to let a person go. Nigga, never.
His job.
I did not hire you big football professional rejects to fucking stand around. Grab that nigga so I don't get stabbed. Man, he was like, no, let him go. Let him go. Now, what are you going to say, Tyrell? I'm like, God damn, for real? And they really would. It's like the audacity of it would make the people be like, man, well, I'm just, look, man, she been distant since we had the baby, okay? I'm like, damn, it's working. It's working.
White man magic.
You cheating. Yeah. How you gonna put me on cheating?
Right? Yeah. I can't believe you would do this to us.
You had to hire somebody to find out that I was cheating.
Oh, and he used to always have a part with us.
You put it on TV. Right. I hit it because I care about you, girl.
Yeah. Now the kids gonna know. Yo, it would be crazy because, like, the other thing they would do is they would be like, the person that was confronting the cheater, I used to always get so mad when they would fight the person they were cheating with. Cause I'm like, no, ask that nigga some questions. And it's like, and then when they start fighting the other person, I'm like, and that's why you got cheated on. Damn, I see now. You can't keep your eye on the prize. You done sat in the car and cried to Joey the whole time and said you want to confront the person. And then you wasted your confrontation fighting this other chick or this other dude. Although,
see the episode where they went to confront the guy and he was like, the guy was like having sex with a dominatrix.
Yes, guest. In the hotel.
There was a goat in the house.
And the goat was a yes.
Was like a whole bunch of stuff going on in there.
That was the part where I went, okay, now y'all started faking it. Okay. Cause like, the scenarios are getting too outlandish. You know what I mean? I was like, nigga, a goat though, for real. For real.
The goat ran out the door.
Nigga.
If that's what you're really doing, there's not really a question as to why you're cheating. Like, yeah. Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Oh, we get it. All right. Let's go. No, pack it all up.
Yeah.
No explanations needed.
I would have loved an episode or two where the person opted not to confront them. That would have been funny as fuck. Like, all right. Well, we know where he's at. He's at the carnival right now and he's with her. Would you like to confront him? Nah, I'm good. Nah, I knew he was cheating. It's cool. I just wanted to know. I'm not going to leave him. I mean, we all know how this goes. Oh, and then my favorite part is after, we are such a tangent. I don't know. My favorite part is when, after the confrontation, when they come back and catch up with the motherfuckers with that green screen behind them, sitting in a chair. And they be like, what? And it always works two ways. Like, one, they had a person that got cheated on, and that person really sits there and they're like, well, after the confrontation, we went back and he left me, and you know, I'm divorced and I'm living by myself, and you know, I had to move in with my mom or whatever, right? And then they'd be like, the other dude, they'd be like, we reached out to LaRon for a comment, but he was unwilling to respond.
Right.
And they just show a clip of him, like, looking at the cheetah's cameras, like, man, get the fuck out my face. And then they cut, then the credits come on. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good.
I feel like Catfish was way better at getting a response back from
the people. Oh, yeah. That's because Catfish be humanizing them niggas. Like, Catfish really be making it seem like they not that bad. Like, you know, Neve and Max, for all their flaws and whatnot, like, they really will be like, Well, why did you do it for Mel? And then it's like, when I was six, I got into a car wreck accident and they told me I would never walk again. And I was on the internet for a long time because I was always in the hospital. And by the time you be like, well, damn, I mean, I guess that is fucked up. And I see what you're saying, bro. I hope you okay. And so that when it's time for the recap or whatever at the end, they be like, well, you know, I'm doing good. You know, I started Weight Watchers. I'm in school now. Like, they have positive shit that happened in their life. I feel like Joey Greco confronts you like the next day, like, so what happened? And it's just like, well, he left and da da da. And then the other person's like, get the fuck out my face, Joey. No, he expressed sorrow for cheating on her, but Neve, not really.
Neve tries to humanize him on Catfish. I've seen Max ready to fight a few people.
Max has.
Yeah, Max is not here for your BS.
Nah. Max gives no fucks.
Max is like, come on, tell the truth. You know this is some bullshit.
Dog, Max's face, when they be explaining why they fucked up, it be so priceless.
Don't it though?
He be looking at Neve like, you hear this shit, dog? for real. You really just gonna eat this up? Okay. I guess I'm crazy.
Everyone's screw them, friend. Like, you don't need them. You're better than this. F them. They ain't that cute.
Right.
Like, this Max.
Meanwhile, Max just holding the camera, looking at him like, I can't believe y'all eating this shit up.
Like, everybody's insecure sometimes. Right.
But then you said you were pregnant. Think. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's so good. He was not legit.
And then you said your mom died. And then right. You said you had cancer. And then you said you was kidnapped. And then...
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to say, but didn't that all go out the window when you borrowed $100 from him and didn't pay him back? And then the person getting catfished be like, oh yeah, that is right. Where my $100, dog? Yeah, I'm mad. I'm still mad. Turns out this is not too much.
I forgot.
Oh man.
There's a great episode of Catfish. With the dude was getting catfished and his big sister knew he was getting catfished. She was like, yeah, then we gonna roll up to the house of a shore. What's what? They walk up the driveway, and the girl catfishing him walks out, and she takes a step back, like, "I don't think I was prepared for these problems. I'm not. No, we're not going to do this. What's up? I heard you wanted to fight. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
Ah! Nope. Yeah, Catfish is amazing, dog. That's an amazing show. I catch it every once in a while now, but I just don't know how niggas still get catfished in 2016, 2017. Like, you know now. Like, you know.
No, they said their camera didn't work on their phone, so they couldn't video chat, and then they don't have a computer, and then they don't really want to talk on the phone because they don't have a lot of money.
I realize that this is bull, but I liked the fantasy, and I didn't want to let that go, so I'm just going to pretend I didn't realize this was obviously a bunch of BS.
It's been 2 years, and I've never seen them.
Well, that and the latest episodes are all like, I know I was being catfished. I figured that out, but now I want to meet them and find out why. Max and Neve, can you help me?
Yeah, that should be like, we talked on Skype one time, but the lights was off because he said he had migraines and the sensitivity to the light was too much. So, and then his internet cut out. So we had, you know, he just went back to texting. I'm like, and then the thing is, I can't really feel bad for the people. Cause everybody that they be like, yeah, you know, this person I'm in love with, they just be a dime. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be the finest motherfuckers on earth.
A supermodel, you'd be like, what?
Yeah, it'd be the finest, like the top 1% of fine people on the earth. And they be like, we're in love. We talked 3 times. I'm like, nigga, no, you not. You won't fuck.
I'm really talking to Katy Perry. No, that song was about me.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy. I felt so bad for him.
Idiots.
He thought he was talking to Katy Perry for like 2 years.
Yeah, they bought Katy Perry on. She was like, well, baby, I'm sorry. I don't know you. Never met you. I wish you the best of luck.
He had a ring. He had like his grandmother's ring, like reset for the chick.
You know how I know that I'm fucked up, though?
From Daffy Roots?
Yeah.
That was sad.
You know how I know.
His family was like, no.
You know how I know I'm kind of fucked up, though? Because, like, you ever see, like, where the person get... Obviously, the person being catfished a lot of times is, like, okay. Like, they're not... Like, normally, that's... And that's the reason they're really going out of their way for this person. Like, they look okay. They're not terrible looking. Like, they're not great looking, but they're okay. And they got some problems in their life, too. And which is why they had this, like, internet relationship with this person they don't know. And they put all this on the line. And then, like, when you find the real catfish and you see who they really are... They got problems and they look okay sometimes. And I really be like, y'all should try to make it work. Like I be like,
we got a relationship this long.
You know, like, who are you to really judge?
Like each other then.
Like, oh, you only liked him when he was Denzel? Come on now. Now you being shallow. You shouldn't have brought me into your relationship.
Well, still, the greatest slash worst episode was the one where the white girl with the kid and was thought she was being catfished. And her best friend, or their best guy friend, who was clearly friend-zoned, was rolling with her like, all right, it's going to be turn out to be a catfish. It's going to be some overweight black woman who's really been doing this. And then I'm going to swoop in. She's finally going to love me. And the phone was registered to an old black man. He's like, yes, this is it. I'm in there. They open up the door. It's the white dude she thought she was talking to.
Yep. And they was in love.
She left the kid with him while they went on a date.
You just saw his face break and
they was in
shatter. Like, how?
He was thinking he was gonna pick up them pieces and nope, it did not work.
You should have known it wasn't gonna be you because the kid ain't yours.
Nope.
Right.
But you out here taking care of the kid, being the best friend, all this stuff.
My favorite. Yeah.
She's been talking to this dude and fell in love over the internet. You right there. You taking care of the kid. You helping her out with the baby. You doing all this stuff for her. And she talking to a dude on the internet that she don't even know is real. And you should have known that it was never going to be you, dog.
My favorite. My favorite episode is Rod and I think it was Ebony.
Yes, we had Ebony on Medium Talk.
Yeah, I interviewed Ebony, man. That was my favorite one when the dude worked at like Popeyes or some shit or some restaurant. He got catfished by Ebony because he actually thought Ebony had a penis.
He
met her and she was exactly how she looked.
Right.
She was fine as fuck. Mm-hmm. And she had her own house and she was willing to kind of be like, look around the fact that he was working this bullshit job and he just couldn't bring himself to date her cause she ain't have no dick, man. I was so hurt, man. I was like, she perfect, man. Can't she put on like a strap on or something? Can't y'all make it work? And he's like, no.
He was trying to ease himself into, like, it was very clear he was dealing with his own issues revolving around admitting that he was either
you
bisexual
need that dick,
or
man.
Homosexual or something. And he thought, all right, she's trans. This'll work.
Right.
It's gonna, and then nope.
And he like told his friends everything. Like,
yes,
he went through all the steps where I was like, well, you know what, dog, you must really like her. Cause the way he told his friends was on some like, well, look, man, she's trans and she's pre-op. So, you know, and the dude was like, you know what, man, if you love her, then you love her. And I was like, well, damn, he seems to reluctantly say like, he made it sound like I'm willing to deal with this cause I love her so much. So I'm willing to sacrifice and you know, I don't want to, you know, like, ideally, I would like to just be dating a woman, but I like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Nigga, when she was like, well, I am, you know, I don't, there's no operation.
Yeah, 100%
woman. I'm 100%. And then he was like, oh, no. I really did like that dick. I was lying. Yep. That compromise, there was no compromise. I would not compromise on not having some dick.
Steve had to pull her aside, like, hey, look, you've been here, you've had to go through your own sexual discovery, learn about yourself. Can you please have, look, he's clearly, he needs your help right now. Can you please talk to him?
He was hurt, man. He was in that car, sad, pouting like a motherfucker, like, she ain't got that dick, dog. We can go back home now. Let's go, Neve. Get back in the car, bruh. Like, they could not understand it, because I just think he was, like you said, he was trying to figure it out himself. And I think he was pretty much lying the whole time.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We have gotten on a huge tangent. Anyway, some woman fucked Wesley Pipes. Wesley Snipes back in the day. Wesley Pipes. That actually would have been interesting.
You did say that. I thought I was tripping. I'm like, did my brain just do a Freudian thing? Did I? Okay.
No, that's what I do. Yeah, so she said, what was her name? Stacey Francis. She said that she took a trip down memory lane. She's clearly currently on Celebrity Big Brother House, and she decided to discuss her Wesley Snipes sex. She said he had the biggest penis I have ever seen in my life ever.
Was he in that Mandingo category that you find on the porn sites?
That's not a category. You just made that up.
It's not. I know my porn, sir. Google Mandingo dick. They pop up. I did not make that category up. It's a whole category out there with black men with Mandingo dicks.
I think you're talking about the porn star Mandingo.
No. It's the category is Mandingo.
Oh, so if I go to X Hamster right now
and you type in Mandingo, you can get a whole genre of Mandingo dicks. It ain't just one person, and most of them are like 9-10 inches in the booth.
Right. Okay. All right. You would know.
I know my porn category, sir.
I mean, you would know that better than me. I'll say that much. I've never been to the Mandingo
section.
There
might be some
things
that you might know better than me, but I know my dick, sir.
Well, I'm on here right now, and it's in alphabetical order, and it's not on here. So,
nope,
I don't know what site you're on.
Nope, don't lie to me.
Macedonian, maid, Malaysian, massage, masturbation, matures, medical, Mexican, midgets.
Did you put in Mandingo?
That's not a category, is what I'm saying.
It is a category. You put in Mandingo, you don't get a bunch of videos that pop up with Mandingo.
No. I'm not saying the videos don't exist.
Category. Because porn is racist?
Right. I'm not...
So I feel like...
I just want to clarify. I'm not saying the videos don't exist. I'm saying they don't officially put it as a category on their sites. Like, Cuckold is a category. Teen is a category. That's what I'm saying. Okay. They don't foul it that way in the fouling system. I'm not saying the videos don't exist. I absolutely know the videos exist.
Yeah.
Okay,
they call them something else. It'll probably be called like Big Black Dicks or some shit.
Okay, my fault. I must go a la carte because I Google Mandingo and I just straight what I want to do.
Right. This shit got Big Cock, you know, like it's not. Yeah, BBC.
Yeah, honey, I've been doing it long enough. I'm like, fuck y'all searches. No. I'm gonna go specifically.
White people are way more tasteful than that with their racism. They don't call us niggers. They call us ebonies. And they don't call us Mandingos. They say BBC. They know what they doing.
Okay.
So it's like the secret menu at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's like if you order
a menu.
It's like if you order a McGangbang. You know? Like, it ain't gonna just come out. You can't just come out and say what it is.
Yeah, because I've been doing it long enough. I was like, look, I ain't got time for y'all bullshit. I know exactly what I want, so I just Google that in. But there is a section for those out there that want to know. It's called Mandingo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It ain't on the real site. The section, if you're trying to look like
y'all
that.
Gonna find a whole lot of that one porn star named Mandingo too. So, I mean, it fits. At any rate, she was talking about Wesley. What do I care? What am I trying to cover this? I'm trying to cover this story for 20 minutes. We've talked about everything but this woman or Wesley Snipes. I'm sorry, Wesley.
Possibly he got a Mandingo dick. That's why we got him.
Wesley Snipes has a big penis, everybody, okay? Let's move into some other things. I feel like we already did fucking with black people kind of start the show. So I don't want to do that. We could do white people news.
Let's do it.
You want to talk about these white people, everybody?
Let's go.
All right. Yeah. Now, I do need to find a white people song. And the problem with... The problem with Skype is that you guys might not be able to hear it. So when I play it, I'll play it and then you guys, I'll let you guys know when it's done playing, if that works for you guys. All right, let me find some white people music. How about, Tidal wants to move slow. This has been a terrible day. All right, let's see what white people be listening to. Man, all I listen to is black people music on Tidal. I gotta go to Spotify just to find what these white folks listening to. I'll just search for some white people by name. Let's see, Bruce Springsteen, that dude isn't gonna have a cover band at the inauguration, so it's gotta be white, right? Gotta be making some white people music. Alright, how about taking its time, doing some thinking. Alright, title. It's just moving slow. I don't know. Oh, all right, cool. Here we go. How about Born in the USA? That's pretty white. Be right back in a minute, guys. You probably won't hear it on Skype. USA. All right. Born in the USA. Thank you, Bruce. All right, let's get into this white people news, guys. Apparently, Selena Gomez and Bella Hadid got beef.
Oh, I know who Selena. Who Bella Hadid?
Bella Hadid, I think, used to date the Justin Bieber or something in The Weeknd.
Oh, his ex-girlfriend.
Used to date The Weeknd. And no, because Selena Gomez was friends with the sister of the chick who used to date The Weeknd for like a year and a half, and now he's dating Selena Gomez, and so there's some issues.
Okay.
So yeah, they have beef now, and I mean, that's only reasonable to explain, you know, to expect. I mean, come on, guys. Now Justin Bieber's being classy about this. He said he has no comment. So,
what?
Take that, Selena Gomez, cause you couldn't stay out of Justin Bieber's business when he was dating that little chick and he had to quit Instagram cause everybody was being so negative.
He was dating that young girl.
Yeah, but he had to quit, but it wasn't her, is what I'm saying. They had been had their thing and moved on.
Okay, yes,
and then Selena tried to shadily just pop back up like, oh, and that's what if you can't take it, then don't be putting your stuff on the internet. And it's like, girl, this ain't your business, move on. But you know what? Justin Bieber's a classy guy, okay?
This time.
He turned his hat to the Ford, and he's different. He's
and
grown
he
up.
He became a Christian and was like, love me not, guys.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the 24-year-old, does not feel guilty about her hookup with The Weeknd because her ex, Bella Hadid, his ex, Bella Hadid, is merely a distant acquaintance. So she's like, I didn't break the friend code. We don't even know each other. What are you talking about?
A source called Mariah Carey. I don't know her.
I don't know her.
A source close to the singer told the site that if Selena felt she needed to the need to give Bella a heads up, she would have, but didn't because the model just isn't a close friend. Mm-hmm. And that, you know what? And you wouldn't have had to find out if you would have kept your mouth shut. You ain't have to know that I don't like it for you. I don't like you. You don't have to do that. It claimed the new couple started hanging out before the new year but weren't together for the celebrations. The insider added that they are not yet that serious, but even if they are, Bella is playing the victim card way too hard. Bella, meanwhile, seemed to be seeking comfort from her sister Gigi as she has been seen heading to her New York City apartment during a snowstorm on Saturday. Bella tried to go incognito in a black leather cap and sunglasses just hours earlier. Gigi modeled a smart jumpsuit as she was seen entering the same building with her mother, Yolanda Foster. Bella kept warm in the black high neck crop top paired with a color block set of white and black trousers.
I love the descriptions, honey. You would get the descriptions.
The Balmainian beauty layered her look over a long coat, which helped shield her from the frosty weather. The brunette, 20, completed her look with a pair of shades, drop earrings, and a baseball cap, trainers, and a purse. Prior to Bella's arrival, Gigi and mom Yolanda headed into the apartment. Gigi displayed her slender, lean frame in a black jumpsuit lined with white trim. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Not that white trim, dog.
Yeah. Much like Justin Bieber's sexual history. Lined with white trim. Let's see. Anyway, they got Instagram beef. I think she even went on Instagram. I'm trying to see if she...
Shit now.
I thought she did, but maybe she didn't. The Vogue cover star accessorized with a trendy... Okay, they was wearing clothes. They was walking. Yeah, I guess they don't have an Instagram update yet. Maybe we'll get to it tomorrow. But yeah, I'm pretty sure she posted something on Instagram about it. Shouldn't be taking no pictures together. So yeah, Bella ID and Selena Gomez don't see it for each other right now. Selena's racking up quite the bevy of bows there, man. Like, I see you, girl.
Amen.
Got a type. Let me explain why.
I don't think I could I'd be scared to date the Weeknd.
Right? With that hair. Who's gonna wash away?
He cut his hair.
Good. I'm glad he cut that ocean front.
He cut the hair.
I was like, his music, I feel like it's the I'm so wrapped up in the sex and the drugs, but I love the sex and the drugs, but I kind of have a little bit of self-loathing about the sex and the drugs. And that gets, 300 million views.
It's so tough being so good at drugs and sex. Did I mention all the drugs and sex?
Yeah, he scares me because he has like the soft tenor of like Michael Jackson at times, but then the lyrical content of Rick James. And like, like you can't have both of those, bro. You can't be like soft and sensual while also being like, bitch, you should have called me back on Thursday. I'm like, nigga, this sound abusive. Y'all been listening to this? Y'all been letting this slide out there, Canada? Come on, y'all. Y'all, Canada definitely, between him and Drake, Canada definitely got like fuckboys all the way down to a science.
Well, Drake discovered the Weeknd.
It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. They both on that same, like, I'm abusive, but I'm really the victim type shit. Just because I cheated on you, I can't believe you stopped fucking with me, ugh.
Why'd you leave?
Right.
As much of a Bob Hotline Bling is, like, when you listen to her, you're like, holy shit, Drake, she's just trying to have a life outside of you. Oh, right. Oh, she's not allowed.
Right.
Right. I mean, it do go hard, but if you listen, ever since I left the city, you...
Nigga, you left the city.
Right.
What are you mad about?
You went out of town, so...
Life. I'm surprised.
Right.
Right. I went to the club.
Going outside and stuff.
I don't know any of them, and I know every stripper in this city. Who are they?
Yeah. I saw you on your Instagram smiling. So Ashton Kutcher has responded to Natalie Portman's wage gap revelation with a supporter tweet. So proud of Natalie and all the women who stand up for closing the gender pay gap, he wrote, along with a link to her Mary Claire UK interview, because she was like, listen, I was in a movie where Ashton Kutcher made three times what I was making. And she was like, the movie was I think No Strings Attached.
I didn't go see it.
It was a 2011 rom-com which received mediocre reviews and had critics like Roger Ebert wonder why on earth Portman would choose this project opposite this co-star. And yeah, on top of that, she was paid a third of what he made. Mm-hmm. So
ain't that the lady from Thor?
Yep.
Yeah,
and Black Swan. Which I think Black Swan is probably what she's more popular for, famous for.
Okay.
But yeah, she only made a third.
Yeah, she kept making that mama money. She was like, I'm out. Mama was like, okay, good. We gonna replace you and keep it pushing.
Yeah, but I heard her say she wanna come back. Cause...
Right, because she ain't making that money. And then mama, don't take her back, because she wasn't the best part of the movie.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Hot takes with Karen. Hot takes with Karen, guys. All right.
I mean, like, honestly... If we get to keep Tessa Thompson,
right.
Natalie Portman can just sort of stay on that side.
Right. He getting a brown love interest. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm black women here, a brown woman here. So I'm like, nah, you good. You good.
I would love to see Tessa Thompson talk some shit to Natalie Portman, though. That would be pretty funny. I just, as long as Natalie don't win, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's like, look,
you can participate.
Yeah, like you can come back to the movie if you let Tessa roast your ass for about 2 hours. I'm okay with that.
Right, and her like, bitch, I can swing a sword, I can punch a hole through a wall. Right. What can you do other than be smart?
Right, like what's all this science shit, Thor? What's up with this?
Smart is a superpower, just like money is a superpower for Batman.
Mm-hmm. Love should have brought your ass to Asgard last night. let's see. Emma Stone reveals that she has faced discrimination from directors as a woman in Hollywood. They've laughed at my joke and then given it to a male co-star, she says. Superbad star 28 confessed in her recent Rolling Stone interview that she made directors laugh in the past of her improvised scenes on set, only to find her witty comments were later given to male co-stars to perform. I can see that, especially if it was like Judd Apatow because that nigga be writing all the women in his movies as like succubuses who hate fun. So I can see him being like, that's a good line. All right, Seth, you say it. You know what I mean? Talking about the disregard of her opinions and views on the set, she explained, there are times in the past making a movie when I've been told that I'm hindering the process by bringing up an opinion or an idea. However, she later added that many directors have actually praised her input, but not let her take the credit for it. She added, there have been times when I've improvised and they lied to my jokes and gave it to a male star. The easy A star also admitted she has never been afraid to express her opinions when she did not feel her characters would say certain lines or act in a certain way to once again be knocked back by male superiors and face the fallout. The redhead continued, or it's been me saying, I really don't think this line's gonna work, and been told, just say it. If it doesn't work, we'll cut it out. And they didn't cut it out, and it really didn't work. It is not the first time she has criticized the discrimination against women in the movie industry and the pressures felt by actresses to perform in a certain way. In an email sent to Vanity Fair earlier this year, the Academy Award nominee spoke of her friendship with Jennifer Lawrence and how she at first felt like she had to compare herself to her talent. She explained to the magazine, there was definitely a time early on when I was like, oh, hey, my ego is going nuts. She's so great, vibrant, and talented. I'm screwed. I'll never work again. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Then I chilled the fuck out and remembered we're completely different and there's room for everyone, even in an industry that doesn't really seem to support the idea up front.
I'm sorry. Did she say that Jennifer Lawrence was great and wonderful and talented?
And vibrant.
Come on. That would
be. I'd start disregarding her opinion, too.
Hot take.
He's shaking the table. Despite her views on the flawed industry she resides in, the 28-year-old star oozed confidence. She graced the front of this month's Rolling Stone. However, the actress also discussed her debilitating anxiety she suffered as a child and how she got through it by acting. In the interview, Emma described what it was like to be just 7 years old suffering from severe anxiety. I was convinced the house was burning down. She said, I could sense it, a tightening in my chest, feeling I couldn't breathe, like the world was going to end. Damn, it's seven. That's some heavy shit, dog. And she said, to deal with that anxiety, she joined a youth theater group where she began to practice acting, sketch comedy, and improv, which could potentially be the reason behind why the likable actress has garnered such success in Hollywood today. You have to be present in improv, and that's the antithesis of anxiety. The award-winning starlet divulged. However, Emma has since rocketed to the heights of Hollywood fame, having overcome her nerve and endless blockbuster hits. Her latest is, of course, La La Land, mm-hmm. set for release in 2017, and it's already receiving Oscar buzz after scoring winning reviews at its Venice Film Festival debut. Yeah, I saw it. I thought it was all right. At any rate, good for you, Emma. I hope everything's going well. I hope they give you funny lines
mm-hmm. and you in the future. Actually good in the Spider-Man. I know they're rebooting, but mm-hmm. but the one prior to it, I actually liked her as Mary Jane.
And she does make a point about, you know, male directors wanting women characters to be seen in a certain light. So, you know, a lot of times they don't want the woman character to be funny.
Nope, and that's why I love directors that actually make women funny and not, like, say, not the quote-unquote, I come in, I suck all the fun, you can't have any fun around me, the only time I'm around is to tell you fucking up or you doing wrong, or, you know, to suck the power out of the room, versus me being a fleshed out character. I could be funny, I could be smart, I could be witty, I could do fucked up shit too.
I agree with all of her points except for J-Law.
Yeah, that was,
who has an Oscar and Glenn Close doesn't.
I mean, you know, it's that thing where it's like, you're at work. So, right. I wonder what she really believes. Because if she felt compelled to have to email in, you know, maybe some rumors came out. Maybe she's overcompensating, like, whatever is going on. But, you know, they at work, man. You got to be friends at work.
True.
You know, that's my guess. Because, I mean, I don't buy it either. Vibrant nigga. what role is she ever
of a mop
right
a mop and her woman
right. Yeah. what role all the roles she plays are mostly like stoic or whatever. Anyway, they love her, so she'll be doing fine. A lawyer for Sofia Vergara hits out at ex's lawsuit filed by couple's embryos as something to keep himself in the public eye. So, okay, that is a very complex sentence.
Yeah.
But what happened is her ex-fiance has filed a right to live lawsuit on behalf of the embryos Emma and Isabella. Yes, he has named them. Because they had her embryos set aside just in case one day they want to get, you know, have children.
Okay.
And in the divorce, he wants, like, custody of the embryos, basically. Like, she don't want those to be destroyed, and...
Oh, he don't.
Mm-mm. Okay. He wants to...
Oh, yeah, you said she. That's why I was like, this, he does, so he don't want them to be destroyed.
Yeah, he don't want them to be destroyed. Yeah. So, yeah, the lawyer for her says the right to live lawsuit filed by her ex-fiance on behalf of the embryos Emma and Isabella is a cynical attempt to garner public sympathy in the ongoing feud over the actress's fertilized eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I can't, like, that is amazing. We're at a point where, I mean, one, you could have a fertilized egg and, you know, do in vitro stuff. That's amazing. Like, scientifically, that's so dope. Yeah. But you can get divorced and a nigga be like, them my eggs. Mm-mm. Right. We play eggs. My sperm is in them eggs and I'm putting them eggs in some women and having some kids.
Right.
So
is he gonna go for child support?
That was my question.
I feel like this might be a ploy for that.
Me too.
Let me tell you something. Now, as much as I find that this is definitely against her bodily autonomy, that nigga finds a way to get child support out of this. He just went into the Side Chick Hall of Fame right away.
Yeah, he wins.
He would pass up.
And we got some good people in the category.
He would pass the woman that trapped Brittany Griner, in my opinion.
Ooh, and she number one right now.
Yeah, she's number one with a bullet.
Like, yes, she is.
How do you?
You
got to
prove
amazing.
These ain't your babies, but I can't produce sperm. I don't care. You still got to prove what
I'm better
doing.
Pay for these motherfucking children. We was married for 3 days.
Come on,
like
didn't Sherry Shepherd have something similar with her and like some eggs or something? Or
I feel like there was something with Sherry, but I don't remember the details.
It was like the husband wanted to have the kid, and they got divorced, but he still wanted the kid, but then he wanted her to pay for the kid because they had like something frozen. I don't know. I feel like this is becoming more and more of a thing. Like when you put eggs aside and stuff, you need to put that to the prenup or something, because that's real complicated.
It needs to be in writing, because you know, it's one of those things, like you say, for some people they do this because, you know, might have problems, whatever, or you know, you might be getting older, you might choose to use a surrogate, you know, that's fine. But just scenarios like this, I really think that it's one of them things where he feels like, hey, we this is both of us.
Mm-hmm.
I should have a right to this.
It seems weird because it's almost like if we got divorced, but I made you have two more babies. Like, that's how I feel. I know it's not 100% the same, but that's how it feels to me. Like,
those are her children. Those would be her children.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found the Sherry Shepherd thing. It was they began pursuing a surrogate, and while the surrogate was still pregnant, they got divorced or filed for a separation, and then ensued into a legal battle because Sherry Shepherd's like, we're divorced. The story doesn't seem to say whether or not they were her eggs that were used.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, ain't my kid. I don't want to be the mother. And her ex-husband was like, hey, when we started this, we were in it together. You said, you know, you at least agreed to go through all of this. And I guess the court ruled that legally she was still the mother pursuant to the agreement they entered into when they first procured the surrogate.
Mm. Well, in this case,
complicated. Don't even fertilize the eggs, doggone it. Just let them sit there.
You know what? Yeah, because
that's weird to me that it's just like fertilized eggs sitting there not becoming children for however long. That's weird to me.
Yeah, and people, you know, claim rights to it. And how do you know it's going to be two females? We don't know what the baby's going to turn out.
Maybe they know. I don't know. Maybe they know.
Maybe they made it so that they had.
Right.
Girls. Yeah.
Right. Because you can kind of. Yeah.
Maybe.
Do that now, a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe you can just pick the gender.
That's true.
Like, pick one of them girl sperms, dog. Thank you. like to make a request. Anyway, man, apparently there's also a trust in the embryos' names. with some money in it. So he's saying they've been deprived of a trust that he created for them in the state. He apparently thinks it'll garner sympathy with the public. It's kind of weird.
That sounds fishy. This all
sound
fishy.
Yeah, it says he filed the papers in Louisiana, a state that offers legal protection for frozen embryos. So they don't even live there. It is unfortunate that he feels the need to keep himself linked to Vergara, who is happily married, by taking up more of her of our overburdened court resources. That's what her lawyer said. Loeb, 41, lives in New York and Florida, but attended university in New Orleans and is still a reserve police officer in the state. Text messages included in the filing reveal that even when they were a couple, Loeb and Vergara, 44, were arguing about the embryos long before they split in May 2014. In March 2013, the couple found out they had 5 embryos. Sources said Loeb did text Beyonce, "You can't keep 4 frozen lives forever or kill them. We will go to hell." And then she said, "We are going to hell regardless."
Throwing heat.
She then told him, "I'm doing it because I want you to have a baby." And Vergara underwent 2 rounds of in vitro fertilization, but both failed. When the couple split up, Loeb allegedly texted her, "We still have those 2 frozen babies." The couple has signed a contract stating neither party can use the embryos without the other's consent. That's smart.
That is smart.
Yeah. I mean,
she already has like a grown son.
Yeah, she didn't really want more kids. And when she got remarried, they both said that they don't want to just have children. Like, they're not. Like, and it sounds like there she didn't want to have kids then either. Like, she was doing it because her then husband did. Their other problem is they're in the Fifth Circuit District.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go through all the appeals, if the Supreme Court doesn't take it, then it will actually get appealed to probably the most conservative court in the United States, in the Fifth Circuit.
And the new lawsuit argues that Loeb would have full custody over the embryos, which he wants implanted into a surrogate, and that Vergara would have no parental rights. Meanwhile, Vergara's legal team is arguing that Loeb is using this newfound pro-life stance to gain more publicity for his fight over the embryos.
You
can't have it both ways. You can't like say, okay, these are half mine, but then say, I don't want you to be able to be the parent to the kid if it's half hers. You can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. You got to pick a team.
Yeah,
that's true. Oddly, Loeb wants us to believe that he supports a woman's right to privacy and making a choice concerning reproduction. However, he seems to believe that his celebrity ex-fiance Sophia Vergara does not have those same rights, especially if it means giving him more public exposure.
Right.
Well, he picked the right time to be on this stand.
But they've been frozen for how long?
2013.
Still sex frozen.
Probably forever. No expiration date.
Yeah, it's a deep freezer.
I'm assuming that's what it is. I'm assuming they put it in there with the rest of the frozen vegetables you ain't never gonna eat.
As long as the power don't go out, you good.
Mm-hmm. That's where that venison sausage goes.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, let's get into some guest erase here. Matter of fact, let me open up Spotify where I keep that list. But yeah, we'll get into some guest erase, and then we'll do sword ratchetness, and then we'll after that we'll get out of here. Cause you know, can't do white people news forever.
It's plenty of it.
Yeah.
Y'all feel better now?
Right. I know I feel better. Right. Talking about these people's inconsequential problems. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier.
Yeah. We ain't talking about Black Lives Matter, frozen embryos of some kids that ain't may or may not ever exist.
Even black celebrities like Steve Harvey and Jennifer Holliday gonna sell out black people. You know what I mean? Like, it's a pressure to it. That, like, at no point did I feel like, oh no, Emma Stone selling out white women, you know? Nope. So, anyway, I love it. Alright, let's see. As soon as this song comes up, I'm gonna play it. Oh, you guys on your end, you might not be able to hear the song.
Yeah.
But, I'll let you know when we're done. When we start and when we finish singing the song.
You're frozen, baby.
And I'm frozen, of course. So let me refresh.
Just
as
like
well
embryo.
just deep frozen like them embryos, never to return.
Never to return again.
Karen won't custody of my webcam.
Ah, yeah, I do.
I know it's a publicity stunt, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
right, well, we'll sing the song now, Ken. You ready?
Yep.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Ba-dum-bum. That's right, guys. It's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the crew from the Three Frills podcast, to guess the race. And Karen in the chat room play along, and of course Karen in the chat room are racist. All right. And Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps, okay? Get clear, smoother skin with Bevel. Everybody knows black people's skin is more sensitive than Bo Bice and the Popeyes, all right? And it's time for us to step up and take care of it, man. Like, this entire system comes with shaving, with a safety razor, shaving brush, blades, primer oil, shaving cream, a cool restoring balm. It even made me buy like a shaving, I bought like a shaving kit holder so I can like look at my brush and my bowl and my razor when I walk in the room, like, look at me, a grown up. So make sure y'all do the same thing, man. Go to getbevel.com, code TBG, /TBGWT. Getbevel.com/TBGWT and get your first month free.
Yeah, cause I'm not even gonna lie. I be looking at Roger's Bevel, be like, hey, I got hair to grow too, especially when you get older. I'm like, hey, I got all kind of little hairs that like to go up underneath my chin. I be looking like, I might be grabbing that razor soon too.
Well, it's in there.
Shit, I might use it, cause dealing with ingrown hairs, that ain't cool.
City corrections worker was busted for prostitution. Okay. And this is from the New York Post, so there's a lot of jokes, okay? Welcome to sell. You know what? That's my job, New York Post. Now I gotta find a better article.
Yeah, find a better article. They're gonna be all witty.
Yeah, y'all can't be stealing my terrible puns. That's what I do. I do terrible puns right here at New York Post. Get your facts straight. Yeah, all right.
And mine worse than his. Whatever your bar is for him, mine is lower.
Yeah, let's go to New York Daily News. That's where I get my news from. She made $75,000 a year working for the city correctional department, but she got busted for moonlighting as a prostitute after offering an undercover cop sex for $120.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
that's not high enough.
Well, back page, man. You'd be surprised how cheap sex is on Backpage, yeah, okay? They had to close it down. Well, we talked about it, me and Justin, I think. Wait, yeah, didn't we talk about it?
I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, we talked about it last week, me and you.
And them prostitutes started filing for unemployment. They were like, hey, y'all taking our money.
Unemployment, for real?
Uh-huh. They got an article that said when they shut that down, all of a sudden they had a hike in unemployment because they was like, hey, you taking our source of income.
Yeah, I think the porn... go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah. I was going to say to Brie, I mean, you have heard of, in particular, strippers, the negotiation that takes place of a stripper who got haggled from $50 to $25 to perform in a sex act in the back of a van.
Look, see, that's why I couldn't, because I would have to be like, I couldn't be like, I'd have to be a call girl. I had to be like, you know, because I couldn't, $100, $100. What?
You're gonna pay me for my time. We gonna at least be sure the beds are bed bug free, and you know
Backpage, like, it's not like they coordinate how they meet and shit too. Like, it's not even like
you eliminate simple pimps.
Yeah, it's really right. It's really to avoid law enforcement and pimps. For most part, it's like I like there are women that are like, I only make out calls. I only make. Call, like, you gotta come to me, or I gotta come to you, or, you know, be prepared to meet at this time. Like, it's real, you know, and then it'd be like, no cops. And I'm like, nigga, that's not gonna stop the police. Like,
are you a cop? If I ask you, you have to tell me.
Yeah, like, I would never, I don't know how people feel comfortable doing it, but enough people must do it and not get caught by the cops right. That it's worth it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this woman got caught, and she's a corrections officer, so she kinda is a cop.
You know? She seen that money they was making. She was like, y'all make how much? And I got to deal with this bullshit every day.
Right. Her name is Galicia Smith. and she got fired. So, you know, hopefully we'll see an influx into the porn game, I'm hoping, you know, with okay. some of these ladies. Maybe they can take their talents to South Beach.
Mm-hmm. Webcam. It's a lot
yeah,
of
Yeah, cam girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's other avenues out there with some legit money. It's probably not as much money, maybe, as Backpage was providing. Smith, whose Backpage.com ad promises a one-of-a-kind experience, met with a man she thought was a client on Friday. Once Smith set the price for sex, the officer signaled a backup. Law enforcement said the officer stormed the room at the Days Inn on 39th Street in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, and took her into custody. Smith, 26, who goes by the name Lisa in her online enticements, is featured in more than a dozen sites across the internet. Hi guys, I'm Lisa, one ad reads. This is a one-of-a-kind experience. I have a beautiful face to match my sexy petite body. The ad features a scantily clad woman in various sexual poses and includes a video of a woman giving a man oral sex. Smith was arraigned Saturday in Brooklyn Criminal Court and released without bond. The Brooklyn woman was a civilian employee at the Department of Correction and was assigned to the Federal Narcotics Task Force, which is comprised of several law enforcement entities. The agencies, including the NYPD and the U.S. Marshal Service and the Drug Enforcement Administration, which coordinate and share information on narcotics-related cases. Authorities say her job gave her access to sensitive information. Officials said she had no prior arrest. Peter Thorne, a correctional department spokesman, said at the end of the line for it's the end of the line for Smith. We have a zero tolerance for any illegal behavior on the part of the staff, Thorne said. This employee was immediately suspended and is being terminated. Smith was a probationary employee. Oh, she was on her 90 days. Damn.
She didn't get the insurance yet.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Gotta be careful,
maybe
though.
Maybe she was trying to get out the life.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correction Commissioner Joseph Pont has made screening new applicants a priority of his administration after the Department of Investigation revealed dozens of officers should have failed basic background checks. Smith could not be raised for comment. Smith's sister, who did not want to be identified, said the suspect is estranged from the family and is not good about staying in touch. Oh, so they really did hit that we don't know her. Even so, she said Smith uses her address to receive mail from the Department of Correction and from the Army, where she claims she has served overseas in intelligence. The sister said she had no idea that her sister might have been turning tricks. She said Smith was very secretive. She has always been to herself. It's like we're not even related. She wouldn't even tell me her job title.
Dang.
Damn.
Dang.
She must have been mad. All right, Karen. Guess the race of Lisa.
Black.
Karen's going with black. All right, let's go around the room. Justin?
I'm going to go with black.
All right. Bree?
Oh, definitely black.
All right.
If Galicia and a side hustle, definitely mm-hmm. black.
Okay. And Eric?
We're going to go black.
All right, let's check the chat room. Black, Denise Latricia says, make the money, don't let the money make you. Players Club Black.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, I'm dead. Oh, name, the fact they pulled the I don't know her card. That's not a race. I'm going to say white. And the fact she was a probationary period, black. Okay, so everybody went black. Did anyone go white? Oh, wait, and it's up App. App went white. Well, the correct answer is she was black. And a couple of you missed it. You said white. Let me give you your booze. What'd you say, Karen?
Pick.
Pick what?
Of her.
Yeah, I'm about to put the pick up. I always put the pick up. Come on now. Kind of amateur hour stuff do you think I'm running over here, Karen? Now, it doesn't show her face because, you know, a lot of people don't show their face on Backpage. It's understandable. But it does show her body. Let me see if I can
put it in Skype.
Make it bigger for you guys. And I don't know if you guys can see it in the chat, but I'll put it in Skype for you guys.
Ah, okay.
That tape?
So y'all
can't see it. Yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, so that's her and the Calvin Klein. I mean, you know, ain't too bad, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for 125, I mean, a lot of ways you can spend 125 and come out with a worse time. Or actually 120, so, you know.
I can't even get a pair of Jessica Simpson pumps for that.
That's like two Xbox games.
She may be doing volume work.
That's like two Xbox. Oh, she got another picture down here. That's like two Xbox games. You know?
I need to be making margin on every transaction. I need my operating costs on every transaction.
Are they coming up with tattoos with these tables happening?
Yeah, so they should be identifiable. Yeah.
Identifying.
Kissing BBJs, yes. What is BBJs?
I don't know. That's some of that language. I ain't got that far.
BBJs? BBJs, what is that? I don't even know what category that would be in.
I don't know the acronyms and stuff that people be using nowadays. I don't.
Yeah, BBJ. I would just say it on Twitter and say what it mean, but it might be. I don't know how these niggas gonna react.
What it mean?
It might be like, ugh, disgusting. What are you into, Jesus Rod?
I was about to say, you find out what it meant.
Don't you have a wife? No, I don't know what it means. Okay. Is what I'm saying. I would ask Twitter.
Start tweeting them.
All right. Start.
He gets a bunch of DMs, 50 roses, 100 right. roses.
Yes, because you know you flag all the accounts.
BBJs. Oh, you do those? I'm like, no, I was asking. What is happening? All right, guys. Let's go to the next one. This story is bananas. A Phoenix woman has been accused of posing as a victim of a fabricated Craigslist rape fantasy ad to frame her husband's ex-girlfriend.
Shit.
Oh, wow.
Masterful. That's how you play the game.
Convoluted.
That's like the plot to an episode of Scandal. Kerry Washington got to figure it out. Oh, go ahead, Bree. I'm sorry.
California that said she was kidnapped by the two Mexican women.
Yes, your
oh,
favorite.
Supermom? The motherfucking Aryan Nation racist ass woman? Oh. God, she was trash, man. I cannot believe white people let that happen. That wasn't the lead of the story. Is like a racist woman claims to kidnap. Like that should have been the title of every article instead of Supermom. Mystery still abounds. What? Ain't no mystery.
I legit thought the husband did. Then I heard some of the follow-up and I was like, oh.
Yeah, because that was a story down here. Because she was in Texas, or was she in Dallas or Austin?
I don't remember.
Yeah. So we had heard about that story, and Bree was just like, oh no, the husband did it.
Oh yeah, I always think the spouse did it, like for real.
Yeah, well, I watched enough like 20
shady
20.
Like that, like yeah. The dude who said he was scared of Black Lives Matter, shot his wife on an accident.
Yeah, yeah. You watch. I mean, you watch enough 2020. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
You know that spouse killed that
for Lifetime. Watch enough Lifetime.
Watch enough Lifetime. Yep. Yeah.
You get the married couples. You get the snaps.
Snap is a little, I mean, Snap is right.
What's one of, I didn't know who I married or some phrase.
Yeah,
like
well
that.
See, those tell you up front. I like the ones where they make it seem like maybe they didn't do it.
True.
Cause it is always that nigga. It's like, maybe it was her husband. Maybe it was her ex-boyfriend. Maybe it was the dude she worked with. Nah, it was her husband. Come on, guys. We know that. So this woman framed another woman. Uh-huh. By saying, she put one of those fake ads on Craigslist. It's like, I have a rape fantasy. This is my house. Come and rape me.
Right. And then you got motherfuckers showing up on your front doorstep.
Well, sometimes people put those on there to get revenge on somebody. Like, they put that. And then, like, and in some cases, there's even been people that have tried to assault people and shit.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, she put the ad on there herself to frame her husband's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, by saying that the girlfriend put the ad up there and set her up.
Exactly. And now she got caught. The Anaheim police... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut y'all.
I was like, that's real convoluted.
I mean, it's a hell of a strategy. I mean, she was playing chess. When officers arrived at Angela Diaz's condo last June in response to her 911 call, police say they found her in tears with a rip and red marks on her neck. A man had just tried to rape her in her garage, she said. Anaheim police believe this was a gruesome result of a recent Craigslist ad in which someone had posed as Diaz and invited men to visit her condo and participate in her rape fantasy encounters, even if she screamed and fought back. Detectives became convinced the electronic trail led to the husband's ex-fiancée, Michelle Hadley, who soon faced 10 felony charges and possible life in prison.
Wow.
It was a bizarre enough case, but on one day, it took an even stranger turn. Authorities say they were fooled. Hadley was exonerated, and the 31-year-old Diaz, accused of posing as a victim to frame Hadley, is behind bars. Ms. Hadley is an innocent victim of a diabolical scheme, Orange County District Attorney Tony Rakaka said. Diaz, who is married to a U.S. Marshal, faces charges that include she faces charges including kidnapping, false imprisonment, and false reporting crimes. She was arrested last week in Phoenix, where she now lives and is awaiting extradition to Orange County. Rakakis said he was not certain of Diaz's motive, but speculated that it involved a love triangle and that the attempted frame-up may have been meant to put the dagger into the older relationship. Prosecutors officially dropped the charges against Hadley Monday afternoon at a brief hearing at the courthouse in Fullerton. You are free to go, Superior Court Judge Beatrice Gordon told her. Hadley wept, smiled, and embraced family members. This has been a huge nightmare for me, probably the most traumatic experience of my life, Hadley, 30, told the reporters of the courthouse on the courthouse steps. She said she had been close to earning her MBA at Chapman University, and this put a little wrinkle into her plan, though she still hoped to graduate soon. Yeah, I mean,
soon, like nobody's business.
I would.
Nothing has ever stopped me before. Prosecutors say Diaz sent emails to herself using specialized software to make it appear that Hadley had sent them, and Diaz made false claims that Hadley had threatened her life and that of her unborn child. She was pregnant.
Is she actually pregnant, or is this all like crap?
Well, apparently, along with attempting to frame Hadley, Diaz is accused of faking a pregnancy.
Stop. I knew she was pregnant.
And then faking cervical cancer.
Oh, wow.
And then forging a check.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
And then posing as an attorney.
Ooh.
And lastly.
I'm trying to set a land speed record.
And lastly. As two of her husband's ex-girlfriends and forging doctor's notes. Hadley was...
Wow!
Yeah, she don't know the truth. She don't even know the truth. They are not on first name basis or last name basis. They ain't go to the same high school, live on the same street, none of that. Hadley was first arrested June 2016 on the day Diaz reported the attempted rape. She posted bail, but was rearrested 3 weeks later after a 17-year-old boy appeared in Diaz's courtyard in response to the Craigslist ad. It didn't act fast, police said they feared it was a matter of time before Diaz was raped or killed. They put her in jail on $1 million bail on charges that included attempted rape. She spent 88 days in jail before she was released on her own recognizance last October. As evidence accumulated of her innocence. The prosecutors believe that the attack Diaz reported in June 2016 was fake. They say the two males did respond to the rape fantasy solicitation. So, in her faking this one attack, two other dudes at some point and really did try to show up and rape her. By the way, only men. That would never work the other way around. If I was like, ladies, kick in my dough, take my dick, no matter what I say, nigga, I would die. I would literally die before a woman kicked in my dough.
Women don't function like that.
Yeah. Nigga.
Be like, random dick? No, thank you.
You'd have to be like Felon so Bay or something.
Stupid.
Up here.
Right. Women already be like, I gonna have to spend my gas money to come across town? No, thanks.
That's a lot.
I'm not riding a bus across town. No,
I'm not even knocking. Anyway, so the evidence accumulated of her innocence, so they let her out on bail or whatever, her own cognizance. The prosecutors believe that the attack that Diaz reported Hadley attorney Michael Gilstey described his client as a wide-eyed, very bubbly young woman with a lust for life whose family had to borrow money for her defense. To have her so thoroughly exonerated by the district attorney is a huge relief for her. He would not comment on whether or not his client intended to pursue a civil claim for being arrested.
Sure would.
Gusty also said he knew from the start that his client was innocent, and she waited in jail and was expecting someone to say, okay, you're innocent, we believe you. Deputy District Attorney Richard Zimmer said there was no evidence that Diaz's husband was involved in the case. Zimmer said Angela Diaz used software to make it seem as if the emails are coming from email accounts. Everything we had pointed to Ms. Hadley. He said that while Diaz gave the appearance of being an upper middle class professional, the investigation revealed her to be a serial con artist. Yeah, if she hadn't have faked everything, she might have got this woman put in jail.
Right.
Cancer, yeah. Check forging.
Right.
Special software. This is going to be a movie on Lifetime.
Doctor's notes. Like, damn. I'm not afraid to say she duped me, Zimmer said. She duped us. It was very sophisticated, well thought out. The problem was we couldn't get to the internet protocol addresses, the IP addresses. Zimmer said the breakthrough in the case came around September when investigators were able to uncover the real IP addresses behind Craigslist ads and the harassing emails Diaz was receiving. He said that some had originated at Diaz's condo and her father's home, and that was a real aha moment. Zimmer said he was sickened by the knowledge that an innocent woman had been arrested. I've had more sleepless nights the last 6 months than I had in 40 years. The last thing our office wants to do is charge an innocent innocent person. I'm gonna say a black person just out of reflex of reading police stories. Like, I've read enough police. I've read enough police.
The last thing we want to do is charge an innocent black man. I mean,
yeah, I've read enough police shit that I'm just like, anytime I read a police quote, I just want to insert like, and we didn't mean to do that to that nigga. All right, guys, guess the race of the woman who is the criminal here. So we're not guessing the race of the victim, but the race of what is her name? Diaz. What was her first name? Her name is going to the top. Angela Diaz is her name. All right, guys. Guess the race. Karen?
I'm going with white.
All right. What about you, Justin?
I'm going with Gone Girl White.
Okay. What about you, Bree?
I'm going to go with Latin.
Going with Latin. All right. And Eric?
I'm going to go with she's not angry, she's spicy Latina.
Okay. So we got two white, two Latina. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe the wife, what her race is. Latina, Juanita the scammer. the least Mexican to ever live in the United States. I'm just gonna go ahead and say the sheer caucasity. The lost eighth season of Desperate Housewives, white.
Oh.
Latina who faked identities to match all the people living in her house.
Oh.
Latina for Trump, straight out the white supermom playbook, white. This was like a Telemundo Black Mirror episode. Mexican reflections, Latina. Non-spicy burrito, you know, Puerto Rican. Oh, the least lazy Mexican. Okay, all right. The chat room. You guys that guessed Latina, you guys were all wrong. So if you guessed white, you got it right.
I should have said, because it's Arizona, I should have went with white, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to go Latina.
My clue was that they let her get away with too much shit.
Yeah, she might be.
That was my thing. That is, she got away with way too many charges.
Like, she could.
I would also say, I meant to ask what race of dude she said came to assault her, because that would have been my,
that would have been good. That would have been a good clue. You know, it's that thing too where like, he could be Latina, but she's definitely white passing, so it's white.
Yeah.
You white know. White. And then because it's
Latin, non-Hispanic, non-white.
Yeah. And she could have also married a dude that was Latino, so she could have taken his last name as Diaz. At any rate, she
oh, she's very white. It flashed and then went away. She's very white.
Okay. Oh no, that's, I carved a B on my face to look what those Black Matter supporters did to me, white.
Yeah,
white.
She was the white. If there was Black a contest,
yeah,
there was a contest, she would win it, is what I'm saying.
So she's a Spaniard.
a Spaniard.
Argentine.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Last round. Bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen and Justin are 2 for 2, but Bree and Eric are 1 and 1. And this is for double the points, so we'll see if you guys can catch up. All right. All right, let me pause this music. All right, cool. All right, let's see. Which article are we going to do? Let's get an old one. Scroll down a bit. How about not that one. How about all right, here's... No, not this one. This is too easy. Jesus, why did I even save that? Is it just tell you the race? All right, how about... this one. This one happened in Louisiana, Baton Rouge. Is this news station covering it? Anyway, Columbus, Georgia. Okay. Columbus, Georgia. A disagreement during a neighborhood basketball game took a violent turn when one player thought he was being intentionally fouled. There was no referee to blow the whistle because this was a pickup game played in the street. But even if there was a referee, these Terminal Court residents were playing a game called 21.
It's in, who's coming? Is this American Life?
It's an every man for himself variation of basketball where fouls are allowed and out of bounds doesn't exist. One of the men playing the game said the trouble began at about 3 p.m. Friday when things started to get too rough. Jarrell Jones said the suspect announced that he was going to go to his car and grab some tennis shoes.
Oh, shit.
But what he was really going to get was a gun.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I was winning. I don't see why he had to argue with us, though. You know how when you're playing basketball, you get fouled and stuff? That's what it's really about. Because he got slapped the wrong way. Thought people wanted to fight. But he said, I don't want to fight. I'm just going to shoot. And he didn't stop after 1 or 2 shots. He shot 4 or 5 times. Probably more than that, said Jones. Columbus police have announced they're looking for a 22-year-old Trevor Marshall, who also goes by the nickname Twin. Authorities believe he is the man who shot 33-year-old Elikist Wheeler during the game. Wheeler was hit once in the abdomen, and he was taken to the hospital in stable condition. In addition to aggravated assault, police plan to charge Marshall with reckless conduct. They said many residents were out and about that afternoon on Terminal Court, and more people could have been easily hit by stray bullets. Jones said he knows Marshall, but he didn't see him at the game. He believes the shooting suspect is a different person, but who he never met prior to Friday's incident. That sounds kind of like no snitching. Elliot's efforts to report reached the victim, Wheeler, for comment were unsuccessful. That definitely sounds like no snitching too. Alright guys, guess the race of Trevor Marshall.
Black.
Okay, Karen's going black. Justin?
I'm going white. I actually gotta go white on this one.
Alright. Bree?
I'm feeling like white because I feel like he didn't know the rules.
That was my giveaway too.
Like, he didn't know the rules. How do you not know he was being intentionally fouled? You ain't never played 21. I'm gonna go ahead and say white.
And Eric, what do you think?
I'm gonna go white too.
Alright, so Karen's going black, everybody else is going white. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe the race of Trevor Marshall is. Let's see. Okay. The unofficial sport and prison ball extreme black laugh my ass off. I'm going white because I feel like it's a setup. Played many 21 games in Pelican Bay black. Hoop Dreams black. Everybody but Kool-Aid in this story black. I just couldn't hold it in. This is right out of the first 48 black. Held the gun sideways black. Black with a splash of Creole, birdie in above the rim black. Well, one thing this guy could do is he could shoot. Okay, we do know that much. The correct answer is And this is for all the marbles, guys. Karen, you're the winner. He's black. Karen, who would you like to thank? Who would you like to thank for this victory? Do you have anybody, any people you'd like to congrats, to thank that helped you get this way, this win?
I would like to thank all the people off of Murchison Road in Fairfield, North Carolina, because that's how I learned the rules about basketball, about paying on the court. When somebody say, I'm going to my car, that's a cue for your ass to leave.
That is a good point, Karen. And, of course, I got to send the booze to everybody else. I'm sorry, but if you guessed anything other than black, you're wrong. I'm sorry.
Twin was a dead giveaway.
It was a dead giveaway.
It was.
It does not even get more dead or given away than that.
And nobody won't talk to the cops.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah, nobody was. Well, nobody snitching could be the black people at the court being like, we don't snitch. But if he was a white dude, I feel like they would have snitched. So, yeah, here's the picture in the chat. That's Twin. That's who they're looking for. Hopefully they find him. And, of course, we got to do sword ratchetness. That's the last thing. We'll get out of your hair here, guys. Where's my long-ass sound effect? There we go. And that's why you don't feel hard at 21. Mm-mm. Pull that sword out on your ass. Yep. Now, today's sword ratchetness is more of a PSA than anything else, guys. Oh, okay. And I'll just come out and say it. This is what you guys need to hear. It's from eater.com. I didn't know this was a thing until I read this article, but it makes perfect sense. And I'll add some clapping to it because I feel like that brings the point home, okay? Stop trying to open your champagne with a sword.
Who does what? That? Who does that? What? Aren't you afraid you'll cut yourself? Them bottles is hard as shit.
The simple act of opening a beverage isn't typically laden with pomp and circumstance, but the art of sabrage is a different story. Opening a bottle of fancy French champagne with a sword is one of the coolest tricks to impress party guests. That's if you execute the action properly. Of course, if you mess it up, the champagne will transform into an exploding bubbly hand grenade, a lesson all of these individuals have learned.
Bubbly hand grenade? Yeah, because you're going to fuck people up with shards of glass and champagne.
Get your hands off.
Right.
Wait, apparently they have clips. Okay, let me put these in the chat. Now I need to show
what
you guys.
What happens if you hit it and it don't bust and it just ricochets back? Like the sword ricochets back at you.
Yeah, apparently, we about to watch people attempt this shit.
Holy shit.
Some of them even news anchors live on TV.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me know when y'all can see it, Karen, because I shared it from my screen. But, you know, it takes a second to pop up.
Oh, no. Oh, that's.
I dodge when people are opening them regularly. I'll be like, nope, I'm not getting hit with the cork. Not getting hit.
Shit, I'm scared when I open it up regularly.
Mm-hmm. Just that pop.
Yeah. Startles you, even though you know it's coming.
Yeah, sometimes I just hit a pop and I'll be like, oh shit, what was that? What happened? Did a car backfire?
Shit, that and the Pillsbury Doughboy can of biscuits. I'm afraid of that shit too. Sometimes I throw it on a table and let it pop on the table. Fuck that.
Yeah, can y'all see?
Conscious by those. Mm-hmm. You put them in the back of your car, and it gets too warm, and so they're like be sitting in back, and they'll heat up, and then on occasion they have actually exploded in the back of their head.
Oh, wow.
Well, here's a video of someone trying to open one on TV. It's a news anchor. Yeah, we see it. Champagne sabering demo gone wrong is what it's called.
Oh, shit.
The sound is terrible, but. You can see the video. So they got, damn, they got two knives.
Right, and she that close to her fucking face.
Yo, she almost touched the knife on the wrong end in the first place. Y'all see, this is wrong. Y'all shouldn't even be doing this.
Yeah.
Get a professional. Oh, that's a big ass knife.
So you loosen the, okay. So you have to hit it perfect to make it do it. You don't know nobody trains this. Oh, glass everywhere. It got on her clothes.
Cause you don't know what the fuck you doing, ma'am.
There's this dude, well, he, savoring champagne going bad. He took a sword.
Yeah,
yeah. Yo, it really be exploding glass into people.
Right, right.
Oh my God, close your eyes.
Nobody got on. There's no safety goggles, no gloves, no nothing.
Right, because the content is under pressure. People are fucking stupid. The content is under pressure, and you probably have to hit it just right where you actually should probably just hit the cork, and the cork flies, right. And then the pressure comes out. Yeah. But a lot of people probably chip the top of the
bottle.
Right, yeah. So that breaks, which causes the cork to fly, and glass, just so it just ends up blowing up everywhere.
Here's another one.
He got a cleaver.
What the fuck?
This is my new favorite thing, along with people who've never deep fried turkeys before.
Yeah, people that don't deep fry
frozen turkey in the oil, and boom.
Right, it's like fucking Fallujah outside and shit. Okay, I can't even speak this language, and clearly whatever they're saying is like, don't do this shit in here. What are you doing? Like, put this shit back.
Right, in that language, somebody was like,
I think the first dude said, I'm not doing this shit. This is how you do it, but I ain't doing it. And the second person was like, what the fuck are you doing? Not in my house.
I'm gonna do it.
It'll be fine. What could go wrong?
Is she even doing it with the right side of the cleaver?
No,
that's the dull side.
Right.
Oh, come on, man.
Don't stop it.
Yep.
Here, do it this way.
You can't be this nervous either.
Yeah, you're gonna mess them up being that doggone scared.
I can't imagine.
Like, this requires a steady hand.
I don't even know why that dude put his hands on that bottle to hold it for. Because I would have been like, nah, you good, dog.
You got it.
Look like you got it to me from over here, way back over here. Yeah.
Yeah, she barely tapped.
You recording? Cool. I gotta go do something in the other room.
Right. Oh, shit. Y'all let me know when the video uploaded. Yo, that kid in the back is scared as fuck. Yo.
Nervous. That made me nervous.
He like, can I move yet? Is she shooting it? Wait, when? Okay, hold on. I'm about to get out of here.
Moving around and ducking and shit. He probably like, this is not a good idea. What the fuck are y'all doing?
She said, nah, I got this.
You
been
alone?
All right, find me. I'll go back over here.
and the whole bottle crumbles, y'all, like literally crumbles in their hands. Guarantee you glass shoots everywhere.
It's just a bunch of fails. It's just this one's 21 seconds. Let me see what this one is. There's a bunch of people just being like, this can't be as hard as it looks on YouTube.
With wrong. The professionals.
This guy, he got a sword. Can't even get it right. I'm trying to do it like he's lighting a flint.
Oh,
he dropped the wine. Good, now nobody gets a drink. Fucking sword ratcheting this motherfucker.
He dropped the whole bottle. Oh,
anyway.
Good. That was good.
It's a click hole. There's a ton of these, but... Yeah. Point being, man, stop opening shit with swords, idiots. not fucking the Three Musketeers. What's wrong with y'all? thank you so much, guys, from Three Fifths Podcast. We really appreciate y'all coming on.
Check them out. They are loads of fun. They have tons of content. So for those of you that's like, hey, Rod and Karen, I love y'all. What's some other black shit I can listen to too? Here's one.
And you can go to their website, Three Fifths Podcast, and it's T-H-R-E-E Fifths, F-I-F-S Podcast. And it's also spelled that way if you go look for it on iTunes and Stitcher. Three Fifths. And yeah, man, follow them all on Twitter. Brie gets tweets. I have it in the show notes. Eric, but it's spelled like A-Y-R-R-Y-K. And
hey, someone got it. Yeah, y'all don't understand. I don't even get it right all the time.
Yeah.
I had to practice. Finally. This is special.
I made it.
And I have to say it really slow. Like, I have to say it really slow in order for me to spell it right.
And of course, there's LJ90, LJAY90 on Twitter. So make sure you follow all of them. And thank y'all so much for coming on, man. We have to do this again sometime.
We will.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yes, everybody. And chat room, we'll be back. Actually, we might be back Tuesday. I think tomorrow's MLK.
Yeah,
you know, we black as fuck, so yeah, can't be working on.
You know, we'll come on the white man's holiday, but not right. MLK Day.
Not MLK.
We might take that off, and we're going to the movies with Layla.
Yeah.
So for those of you that love the kids' correspondence on the premium feed, you're gonna get one tomorrow.
Yeah, we should have a spoiled movie review for like Moana or Sing possibly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, we'll be back Tuesday. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.